And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a frantic Friday. It is the 24th day of May 2013. This is a live broadcast. I'm Doug Hagman. In studio with me is my son, my co-host, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of an incredible show concerning what's coming down the pike about our finances. We have the two very special guests coming up, Steve Quayle and also the Gorilla Economist. You know, I want to say, well, first of all, folks, we do broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us at our home base on the internet at homelandsecurityus.com. We're also simulcast by the good graces of the Christians United Broadcasting Network. You can tune in to an alternate audio stream at the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. We want to thank you for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through what we are walking through this minefield of current events. I want to thank you for listening to us and tuning in. We want to welcome new listeners in Perth, Australia, where you heard from today. We'll be listening live, as well as also, as I mentioned last night, more listeners yet in New South Wales, Australia, the Philippines, and also the Caribbean, the Bahamas. I got to tell you, I got an email from somebody from the Bahamas. Really, it kind of blew me away, saying that they're listening. I can just imagine that little tiki bar on the beach with our program resonating from that. Joe, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Very glad to be here tonight, and I'm very excited to hear what our guests are going to be talking about, as things are very volatile and changing constantly.
Things are, and you know, people ask, why is the global economy in so much trouble? They ask, how can so many people be so absolutely certain that the world financial system is going to crash? Well, the truth is that when you take a look, and you got to take a good, cold, hard, unemotional look at the numbers, it's very easy to see why the global financial pyramid scheme is destined to fail. Today, right now in the U.S., there is approximately $56 trillion of total debt in our financial system. But do you know how much money is actually in our bank accounts here in the U.S.? Remember, $56 trillion in debt, but how much is on deposit? $9 trillion. So you could take every penny out of our bank accounts. You could multiply by six, and you still would not have enough money to pay off our debts, whether you recognize them as legitimate or not. Overall, there is about $190 trillion of total debt on the planet. That's nearly $200 trillion. And when you start talking about trillion, are you really talking about money? But the global GDP is only about $70 trillion. The total notional value of all derivatives around the globe is somewhere between $600 trillion and $1,500 trillion. Folks, really? Can we really have a discussion about this, an honest discussion about the economy? What are the banksters, these gangsters, what are they doing to our country? They're raping our country. They're raping and pillaging and plundering the United States of America. And frankly, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of our people selling our young people into slavery, into financial bondage. And you know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of these people walking around and saying, hey, it's okay, and things are just fine. They're being Kramerized. Did you ever see that Kramer on the cable channel? I'm not talking about Seinfeld Kramer. I like him. At least he's got some sense. Anyway, folks, I just want to welcome you to a broadcast, a Friday broadcast before Memorial Day. had to get that off my chest. I just, when I saw the numbers today, how can anyone have a rational and reasonable conversation? But folks, we've got two very special guests, Steve Quayle. SteveQuayle.com is a brother in Christ and one of the best guys I know in terms of integrity, character, and a God-fearing man. And, of course, the grill economist known as a bee, the guy who has been right more times than I can count. And we're glad to have him. I don't know who we have on, Joe. You're the board master, the master of the buttons here.
Right now we have Steve on. We're still waiting for V to call in. Steve, are you there?
I'm there, and thank you, Joe and Doug, for letting us come on tonight. In the last 24 to 48 hours, the financial debacle has had amazing revelations. One of the biggest is that the United States, especially under Ben Bernanke, has bailed out the European banks to the tune of $1 trillion. And what's exciting in real time is to hope tonight that by the grace of God, people will understand the most basic principle in all the world of finance. That's simply this, that a digital representation of money in the bank is not the same thing as a commodity or as something you can trade for food or trade for medical help or trade for gasoline or trade for anything. What's really interesting, Doug and Joe, is that isn't it fascinating that when Goldman Sachs pillaged and plundered the United States savings pool, that it was almost identical to the total money invested in IRAs, KEOs, 401ks, defined benefit plans, and all of those retirement plans that were sitting there. Now, here's what I want people to understand. I want them to grasp this real simply. That is no coincidence that exactly the same amount of money that was in all of those, you know, accounts I just rattled off is what it took to basically get us out of the realm of the threat of martial law at the point. So when you're talking of trillions, and I want to go on record. I went on record, first of all, when no one else would use the T word, and that's trillion. I was talking specifically about, I'm sorry, not trillion, quadrillion. I was the first guy. You can go back and look at it. And those of you who have listened to me all these years on radio, I said quadrillion. Well, people were talking, you know, hundreds of billions. Then it went into trillions. But a quadrillion is 1,000 trillion. And in the derivatives, it's $1.5 quadrillion. And basically, let me make it really simple. And Doug and Joe, respond back to me if I'm not being clear enough, because I want to make this clear enough. There is all the debt in the world. There is cross-collateralization. But all of that money and derivatives are multiple IOUs piled on top of each other, packaged and sold to secondary and tertiary and quaternary. In other words, 1, 2, 3, and 4 levels deep. Some of them go 1,000 levels deep. And the thing that is really astonishing is that it is, how do I say this? It is almost unfathomable that the American people are so slow to pick up on this. We saw the announcement this week that obviously the federal pensions are going to be robbed. And let me just share this with everyone. Everything has been robbed. When they admit they're going to, they already have. And so when you send me or V emails, should I keep my money in my pension, 401k, IRA, you don't have anything in there except a digital entry. Have I made that kind of simple, Doug? I don't know any way to make it more simple.
Steve, yeah. And frankly, if you can't hold it, if you can't eat it, taste it, put your tongue on it, guard it with a AK-47 or an AR-15, you don't own it, plain and simple. And if you own paper, well, I guess you're guarding paper then, aren't you?
Right, and this is what we're seeing in the precious metals market. And I think V just sent me and you. He'll be on in a couple minutes. But the paper market for metals is totally phony and totally ripe with fraud. The statement, if you can't touch it, you don't own it, is so true. We saw MF Global just absolutely steal allocated gold and silver out of a bullion facility. We've been hearing that ABN AMRO will not settle in metal or kind. There is none. We've heard just this week that Hong Kong's gold trading platform is shutting down. We've heard the threat of force majeure, which just simply means that all debts and all money owed at the COMEX will not be settled. Obviously, we've always heard the act of God clause, but, you know, unfortunately, these men who think they're God, I wish they would just say act of the Illuminati clause, because basically, Doug, everyone in the United States, it doesn't matter how much money they have, if they don't have it and they can't touch it, feel it, smell it, exactly like you said, is absolutely in what I call the vapor asset mode. They think because paper represents something real, therefore the paper is real. It couldn't be further from the truth. It is a hypnotic trance of unimagined stupidity, unimagined understanding, carelessness, recklessness, and quite candidly, financial indifference. Now, again, going to the words of Jesus really quick, if Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil, then by inference, the control of money is the root of all evil. So if we, by the grace of God, V, myself, and others who are out there sounding the alarm, I'm not saying we're the only ones, I'm just saying we're tonight on your show, then if you can understand how money really works, then you can get away from the root of evil. And this is what people don't understand. Everybody's dealing with the fruit of evil. The greatest illusion in the history of all magic, spelled with a K, those of you who know what that means, magic spelled with a K is the fact that America has traded its heritage, all of its assets, its national parks, most mortgages that people don't even understand or can't even find out who really owns their mortgage, they're owned by foreigners. And whether it be the Chinese or the Arab Confederacy or the Indonesians or the whoever, wherever in the world, when they come and call the paper due, they're not going to come and just say, oh, you can stay in your house, Mr. Quayle, or you can stay in your house, Mr. Hagman. No, they're going to take what's theirs. And even under George Bush gave certain rights to basically the foreign investors to make good on their commercial paper claims and allowed foreign military assets in this country. So bottom line is, what you think you own, you better double check. And we've heard horror stories. One of them was on the internet today that Wells Fargo foreclosed on somebody because they paid their mortgage early. Did you see that?
No, and thank God I didn't. No.
Right.
On what grounds, Steve? Is there something written within the contract?
Yeah, that seems completely unbelievable. Just the headline.
Payment penalty.
Yeah.
Well, most people,
will take your house.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Most people don't understand that there are due on sale clauses, and I got to be blunt with you. I've had a few mortgages in my life, and I don't read the fine print. I know what they say because someone drew them to my attention. And so basically what the bank was saying in that case, we're not making enough money, and if you pay interest ahead of time or your mortgage payment, then we're basically not earning what we projected in our total portfolio. So what I'm trying to share tonight, and I know what, when V comes on, we'll be sharing too, is when he gave me email.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just
No, because I want to give it over to him. But when he said, Steve, he sent me an email, I don't know, about 6:30 my time, which would be 8:30 his time. He's on the East Coast. I'm in Montana. And he says, I'm freaking out. Now, for someone who's as deep into the background of how all this works, for him to say he's freaking out, that really prompted me to get a hold of you, Doug, and say, look, we got to get him on tonight because there's so much happening. And then with the reports of all the troop movements, all the helicopters, you know, look, this is beyond the black helicopter argument. And I'm telling you, there are people tonight that have lived in such a state of denial, apathy, and indifference that when they finally get awake, they're going to shake, they're going to tremble, and they're going to come to the conclusion that, seriously, outside of the grace of God, all that they've worked for, tarried for, put away for, and saved for is gone. And with that, I'll turn it over.
I just want to welcome, Joe, and I want to welcome, of course, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Folks, bookmark that website, stevequayle.com. It's off. In fact, there's a permanent link off of homelandsecurityus.com right to Steve's website. Make sure you bookmark the alerts. In the alerts section, you will find of course, a very prolific author known as V. the Gorilla Economist, who's joining us right now. Mr. Gorilla Economist, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report tonight.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys. It's once again an exciting time to be alive. I sent Steve an email, said, "Hey, Steve, I'm totally freaking out over here." Even before I go into that, I just want to thank all the people that emailed me and reached out to me and was able to consult with me this week. And I was able to give them some good advice and consult with them. And I just want to let all of you know that I've spoken with the ones that I've spoken with, that I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that the Lord will give you the courage to make the right decisions, because the time is of the essence. And, you know, once again, anybody can reach me through stevequayle.com. Also, you can reach me on my email, which is gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. We can connect that way, and I will try my level best to help you through and guide you through this, through the coming storms. That being said, back to the freakout thing, I just basically got this hot off the press and hot from the boardrooms over here. Guys, the Japanese, and this is official, I'm going out on a limb saying this, and you can take it for all it's worth, and this is the God honest truth. The Japanese have lost control of their bond market. Once again, I'll repeat it. The Japanese have lost control of their bond market. They have totally lost it, okay? The next few days,
for financial neophytes like me, what does that mean?
What that simply means is when... You see, the stock market has been rising in Japan and as well as over here because of bond prices. We're in a very unique environment where if the bond market goes bust, you're going to see the Nikkei go bust with it, as well as real estate. So that also coincides with us. The collapse that's going to occur here is going to be a trifecta of bonds, stocks, and real estate combined. So when the Japanese have lost control of their bond market and the yields are getting higher and higher and the interest rates are starting to climb on it, nobody's buying it. So the Japanese, in right now, the Bank of Japan has ordered all the public pension funds to begin to buy the Japanese debt, okay? I've had an emailed question where somebody emailed me and said, what is the Fed doing? Because the Fed's, buying $45 billion in mortgage-backed securities. There's also another $45 billion that they're spending out, and that's going to God knows how many different sources. I'm sure some of it is going to Japan, but I know most of it is going to the Eurozone to try to stabilize the banks over there. But the Fed over here has also ordered, and I want everybody to listen, this is insider information, the Fed has ordered the U.S. pension funds to begin to acquire U.S. debt. That is, order is coming down the pike. It's going to start happening. The states are going to start carrying it in order to fatten up their books. So we are moving into the last stages before a all-out collapse, and that's exactly where we're headed. So now the Rubicon has been crossed, and when I was on back on May 14th, I said that. Now the armies are surrounding the Capitol itself. So we're at a very, very critical juncture, and that's the thing that's gotten me freaked out the most, is that the Japanese have lost control. They don't know what to do at this point. To the public, they're telling the public, don't worry, everything's okay. That is a sign, folks, that they are panicking. That is a sign that everything is not okay. That there is a great fear and trepidation that has begun. And when this thing goes bust, this is the trigger that's going to bring this whole thing down. And that's what I'm afraid of.
V, I was talking with my source, my intelligence source, insider source before the program, and he said that Japan was instrumental. They used Japan to actually, as a catalyst to bring down the economy of the Soviet Union back in the 80s. And I'm not sure if that has anything to do with what we're referring to, what we're talking about now. It's all basically what he said. It's all a shell game, and there's no recovering from this, and there's no walking this back. So you're painting a very dire picture here. So from the your first appearance on January 11th, when you said Japan was going to be the or is the coal mine, not just the canary, but the coal mine. Now you're saying Japan is essentially totally gone down. And to top everything off, the U.S. Or the Fed has ordered U.S. pension funds to acquire U.S. debt. We're at the end stages, aren't we?
Yeah, we're on the last legs of this whole storybook, and unfortunately, it's not going to be a storybook ending. So we're in the last few pages of a chapter that's been written about 100 years ago, and it's soon coming to an end. So, you know, so the world is breaking. So now the question becomes, what exactly are they going to do? They're going to bring this thing to a halt. They're going to create an economic turmoil and a crash. And then they're going to sell the population on some sort of an armed conflagration, some sort of a massive global war. That is typically the playbook of the globalist. That is typically what we see, a pattern that's repeated often. So I think that's where we're being pushed to. Because they feel that, you know, this is no longer... look, a small-scale, controlled regional war is not going to fix a 1.5 quadrillion derivative debt globally. A small-scale regional war is not going to fix the massive levels of unemployment in America, in Europe, in Japan. It's not going to fix the economic problems that have festered in much of the Western world and parts of the world that utilize a Western style of banking. It's not going to fix it this time. So what is going to happen is they need to get all the players onto the field. And they need to set off a scrimmage that's going to be so massive and so incredible that everybody involved is going to be affected. And those that are not involved are going to be affected as well. So this time, they're going to drag everybody in. This time, there's not going to be anyone that's going to be unaffected. And that's what, you know, typically happens when a scenario like this is played out. So, you know, we have a country that is lost. Basically, it's losing its control. How many stopgaps, how many fail-safes were triggered in the last week alone? 3, 4? I mean, how fast did the Nikkei went down? Like 1,500 points in a matter of minutes. I mean, when you look at this chart, you'll see nothing but a nosedive. I mean, this is scary, folks. This is not everything's okay. And what are they doing over here? They're giving you guys the message that everything's fine, everything's okay. Look, the stock market is going to go up. It's going to go up even higher. Folks, if you are still in paper, if you're still in equities, if you're still waiting on the fence, okay, that somehow this is going to get pulled back, let me tell you right now, it is mathematically impossible to pull this back. It's mathematically impossible. You cannot recall this. This cannot be recalled. So what's happening is that this is accelerating. We have been strapped to a rocket ship, and it's being launched off a cliff, and there's no stopping it, and it's hitting right for a wall. Forget a wall. We're going to hit a mountain. And that mountain is going to bring this whole thing to a kibosh. It's game over. There's nothing left to play. See, I remember the time, you know, decades ago when the banksters, okay, when the guys in the boardrooms would begin to create a bubble. They'd create a bubble, they'll pop it, they'll get the suckers in, they'll fleece the suckers for all they're worth, and then a decade later they'll start another bubble, because this way they give it time. They give it time for the suckers to settle down. And like a bunch of heroin addicts, the suckers come again, tapping their arm, tapping their vein, and telling the banksters, oh, let me get one more hit. Let me get one more hit of that equity fund. Let me get one more hit of that stock. Let me buy into that .com. Let me get into that subprime mortgage, or I'm going to get rich. I'm going to be like a Rockefeller. And once again, they got you. And then they pop it again. Folks, now things are so severe, they're not even waiting. They're not even waiting to create, they're not even waiting a decade to create another bubble. They've created multiple bubbles, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Okay, and the biggest bubble of them all is that they inflated it to such a massive extent is the United States dollar. And this thing is popping. And I've talked to people this week that have money in equities, money in municipal funds, money in stock market funds with blue chip companies. Let me tell you something. I've had traders email me and saying, hey, you know, why is this market going up? It doesn't make any sense. Well, I'll tell you why it doesn't make any sense. The only reason why the Dow is where it's at, and I called it before anybody else did, the only reason why the Dow is where it's at is simply because all you have is corporations buying and selling their own stocks. Did you hear that, folks? Corporations buying and selling their own stocks. They're not investing. What is the sign of a corporation that's investing? Simple. They're hiring employees. They're creating new divisions. They're opening new departments. You don't see that. There's no investment. Otherwise, the unemployment rate wouldn't be the 23 to 24% of where it's sitting right now. So this is a charade that's being played. So you're given the illusion. So you can go in, led by these Judas goats, led to the very maws, the very jaws and mouths of the jackals to be ripped limb from limb. And I'm telling you right now, folks, the time is short. The time is very short. You know, I've had people ask me, can I leave the country? Some people can. If you've already got stuff in other countries right now, I'm telling you right now, if you are already set up in another country where you have assets in that country, you have residency in that country, you have a passport in that country, by all means, go. That's how severe it is. You heard it here. I'm telling you right now, go. If you haven't, okay, and I'm telling you right, this is one of the saddest things about being an American citizen. It is so difficult for you to expatriate yourself. It is so difficult for you to leave without all sorts of stipulations and all sorts of things, looking at everything. They're right now passing laws to hit you with different types of taxes, penalties, just for you to leave. Sounds like Nazi Germany, what the Germans did to the Jews when the Jews were trying to get out of Germany before the whole thing went up in flames. It's the same program. These globalists don't change. History just doesn't repeat itself, folks. History rhymes. It rhymes. And here we are again, looking into the abyss, into the financial abyss. And that's where we are today. I'm telling you right now, I was talking to people, hey, do you know any bullion buyers? I can't get any gold. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you can hear it within an earshot of my voice, if you can't get gold, if you can't get silver, for the love of God, call Renaissance Metals. Call Steve Quayle. Steve's one of the only guys. I'm not telling you this because he's a friend of mine. I'm telling you this because I know dealers here in New York where I myself am put on a wait list for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. Okay? Give Steve a call. There's still a chance for you to go out there and get some gold, get some silver. And when you call Renaissance Metals, tell them V sent you. They'll take care of you. I promise you that. Okay? Now, let me tell you some great news over here. Another bit of incredible news. Another sign of the times, so to speak. A few days ago, the Royal Canadian Mint, all right, they minted a coin, a silver coin, 1 ounce. Okay? A 1 ounce silver coin, and they put a $100 face value, and they stamped it right onto the face. And then when you go online, you read about this coin, it says all the investors, they think it's such an incredible bargain. In fact, folks, it was such an incredible bargain that they minted 250,000 coins, and in a matter of a day or two, 97% of the coins are already sold out. What does that tell you? Well, number one, that there is such a demand for physical silver that people are willing to pay a $100 for a silver coin. Number two, the Royal Canadian Mint stamped that coin with a $100 face value. Folks, I'm giving you a little bit of information here. The Canadian Mint is forecasting something that many of us already know. That silver today, if it was released from some of its manipulation, should be at $75 to $100 an ounce right now. I'll repeat that again. If silver is released right now from some of the manipulations that have affected it through the ETF and papers market and futures contracts markets, silver would be worth anywhere between $75 to $100 an ounce. The Canadians know that. They're not stupid. They stamped it with $100. And it's sold out in days, folks. Last year, they did the same thing, but they put a $20 stamping on a polar bear commemorative coin. And that thing sold out. But not as fast as this. So when I tell you that silver and gold is getting rarer and harder to get, let me tell you something. It is. Okay? Now, the silver and gold suppression. Now, I had it from some of my sources that the plan is to take the Dow higher. Okay? Now, I don't know where things are going to go now, and I take this with a grain of salt as well. But the plan is to suppress silver and gold even further. They want to take gold down to 1,000 and silver anywhere between 16 and 18. Folks, that's going to do two things. If they do that, if they have the cojones to do that, it's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to permanently divorce. It's going to permanently separate. It's going to permanently dislocate the paper market from the physical market. It's going to be a permanent severing, all right? Because I'll tell you right now, if silver goes down to $18 an ounce, and the supplies and the acquisition premiums have gotten up so much higher, do you think for 1 second that if I'm holding an ounce of silver, I'm going to give it to you for $18? No. Acquisition premiums are getting so high that, you know what? It's going to cost you $40. Folks, let me tell you something. Silver sitting at what, $22, $23 an ounce? I just contacted the biggest bullion dealer in India. Okay? The guy's not letting go of silver for no less than $28 on spot. $28. Okay, so this is what's happening, all right? So what the banks are here doing is essentially, in effect, what the Department of Homeland Security did with the ammo purchases. They purchased up a pool of ammunition, which drove up the premium of cost for certain types of rounds, and which created artificial scarcity within the marketplace to the point that police departments have to ask civilians, "May I please buy some rounds?" That's the same thing they're doing here. They're creating such a vacuum in the marketplace, they are driving the speculators out. The speculators who don't know any better, because they're speculators, they're just looking for that one time. Look, let me tell you something about speculators. As an analyst, as an economist, we've always looked at speculators as the junkies. They're like the rave crowd. They're just looking forward to making a quick buck and moving on. They have no type of future. Most of them don't have any type of future vision whatsoever. They have no long-term insight, none of that. Quick buck here and now. So this suppression of precious metals has driven all of the speculators out. These jokers will be back. But when they do come back, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be coming back in at a very high price. And that's where we are today. Steve, you can go ahead if you want to say something.
If I can ask you a couple of questions, B. Number one, and if you know this, fine, it's just an estimate. What percentage of the American households do you believe have any significant holdings, physical holdings, like in their sock drawer or in a house safe or wherever, of physical gold or physical silver? What percentage wise?
Probably less than 1%.
All right.
Maybe 1-3% at the most.
Okay. All right. Who's got all the silver and gold? I mean, just the other, or just a very small percentage of consumers, or is it the central banks, or who's got all the central, or who's got all the silver and gold?
Well, that's divvied up between the central banks, the bullion banks, the sovereign governments, and then every other country in the world where the populace is smart enough to buy hordes and hordes of silver. And you'll see that silver and gold purchase going through the roof in places like India and China, where people understand that, you know, that real wealth is not something that's put on paper. Real wealth is something that's stamped in metal.
Okay. Steve?
Doug, I'd like to add, too, that India is probably the largest importer of silver. Obviously, people had just go to the basic CIA fact book or just type in and see what the populations of both India and China are. We've seen the Russian central bank. We've seen the Chinese central bank purchasing massive, massive amounts of gold and silver. By the way, gold alone, Russia's got close to 9,000 tons. The true holdings of China, told to me by a Chinese insider married to a very prominent member of the party, most people don't even know enough of China's history to remember Kublai Khan, Genghis Khan, all the different dynasties, the Ming Dynasty. They literally have some of the largest holdings of what I would call historic treasure that most in the West have not seen. Now, there are people who are from the West that have seen it, and fortunately, the gentleman that's my source is one of those. But the point is that they're smart, and I've said this, and I'm just quoting it. I didn't make the statement up. But gold and silver always move from weak hands to strong arms. What V had written in one of his write-ups is, look, this is the force out of the little guys into the mouths of the jackals. And, you know, all one has to do is watch how a hyena and a jackal hunt to figure out it's exactly, it must be the predatory mascot of the Illuminati. They love them. And by the way, you know, it's fascinating that the people that yelp the loudest, whether they're the talking heads on TV, whether they're spouting the liquid vomit that flows from mainstream financial prison, everybody has got to understand, point blank, that the people that are picking your pockets are the ones that are producing the shows with their various and assorted experts. And it's fascinating to me that while they're telling you, don't buy silver and gold, they're buying it. Now, why are we saying that? Listen, let me make it simple, especially for the Christians who keep saying to me they'll throw their gold and silver in the streets. Yes, they will during the day of the Lord, because it won't save them. But the book of Daniel teaches, and this is critical, that the Antichrist still basically has an economy that's founded on gold and silver and precious stones. So what V's going to talk about, too, and V probably want to get to this in the second hour, but the ancillary system that's already set up, the biometric tracking, and I love this word, the ubiquitous, it means ever-present financial system that's going to be there. You're going to be assigned a specific amount of units. You're going to be told where you can go, where you can work, what you can do, when you can travel, where you can travel. And it is the quintessential locking grid that's coming. Now, again, I'm going to yield it back to V because he worked on that. He knows the people that developed it. So for all of you critics and cynics out there who sit in your armchairs, you've never made a trade in your life over probably $100, $1,000, or $10,000. We're talking about guys that can take puts and calls, and they can put them into the billions by compound leveraging. And unfortunately, the two biggest people doing that right now are J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. So, V, would you set everyone into the understanding of the framework that exists to control them outside of having any personal control over their own financial destiny? And don't name any names or any companies, obviously, for their sakes, but just, you know, you were involved in that. Share with people what's really going on, because tonight, Doug, it's my prayer that, basically have got to recognize the fact that what they're being told, and by the way, V is not saying, nor am I, there are retail bullion sources with plenty of inventory. I happen to be one, too. But the point is, across the country, I've even, and V with that, you know, we'll just make it simple. People are being put on 4 and 6 weeks, and so, Art, you need to chill, pal. The bottom line is, what I always like are these ignorant people, and tell me, okay, and I'm speaking to a specific listener out there, and people say, well, you shouldn't do that, Steve. No, I should, because this is it. You know, it's always amazing to me that people who don't own gold or silver, never bought it at $285 gold or $385 silver, $3.85, they always have an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion, but what's their track record? You know, Doug, this is the other thing. You know, I mean, I got to tell you, the shills have been out. I mean, I've literally heard from Richard the Hellhearted today. I've heard from Art, who doesn't get it. I've heard from all the people that have got 100 reasons. And it's amazing because, again, when the truth is told, it's immediately the lies and the flies under the Lord of the Flies have to come and gather around. So what I want, if you would so much, V, is to tell people exactly what's going to come down, how every action, every sale, every earning, and everything is going to be controlled by the people who have the Luciferian agenda to socially engineer the entire remaining Western population. Would you just do it? Because we got, like, you know, 19 minutes.
Yeah, and the only other thing I would say to that is go ahead and feel free to name names. I certainly am one, as an investigator, to like to hear names if you are, number one, so inclined, and if, number two, it fits in with your the facts. So go for it.
Well, you know, oftentimes people ask me, oftentimes I hear people say, oh, this is a cycle. This is a cycle. Everything will reset itself and there'll be business as usual when we come out the other end of this tunnel. Folks, this is a brave new world emerging. This is a completely new beast. This is a beast system, and there's no other way I can describe it other than the fact that it is a monstrosity to look at. What do I mean by that? Well, for the last couple of 100 years or so, we've, especially in the last 50 years, we've had pure fiat currency. Okay, so that's something we're used to is paper currencies. All right. But the new system, and, you know, you've heard it said, oh, it's going to be digital, and, you know, you all know that. And everybody has that whole, you know, affinity of, oh, yeah, it's a microchip. It's a lot more serious than what you guys think. Okay, a lot more serious. It's so serious enough, I coined the term ubiquitous banking. And ubiquitous simply means everywhere or ever-present. Okay, what I mean by that is this, and I'm going to detail it for you as best as I possibly can. The command and control structure behind everything, the military-industrial complex, the politicians, the roundtable groups like your Bilderberg, your CFRs, the Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, all these things, all of these guys are all funded by this nexus, okay? And this is a nexus of a handful of corporations and a handful of multinational banks and a handful of individuals that is the center of this nexus. And they are the ones who, and like I said before, banking and finance is the scaffolding, the mortar, and the foundation on which the whole entire system of globalization is built upon. Okay? That's the structure. It is the glue. It is the very thing. So when this old thing is being done away with, the new thing that they're rolling it out, and they're already starting to roll out with, is this concept that I call ubiquitous banking. All right? How many of you have, you know, it started in 1979 with credit cards, okay? Then it went into, like, you know, electronic credit card and electronic banking, and here we are today where now you can bank on your iPhone or your Android device or your smartphone, and now these phones are NFC capable, which is near field communication, where they can communicate with other financial type or transactory machines, and you can have a financial transaction take place. Case in point, I have a smartphone, that has NFC capability. When I go to a, I mean, I don't have it activated, but if I wanted to, I could. I can go directly to a Starbucks, buy my latte, my venti this, or whatever the heck frappuccino you call it, press a button on my smartphone, and zap that money directly to that register, and then the receipt prints out, and I'm out and running. In Japan, which is a very heavily networked country, far more advanced than we are in terms of their network capability, if you have a phone, you can go to a vending machine, buy soda. You can go get your train tickets. You can do pretty much anything you can with your cell phone, okay? So that's why they beta tested this whole thing first. And now it's brought over to us, okay? So this is what's occurring. And so what we're seeing is this whole program totally has really begun to snowball, and you're seeing it everywhere, right? So the whole thing behind this is let's just say is you've all heard the terminology Agenda 21. You've heard the terminology sustainable development, okay? The future is with NFC, which is going to roll into the new smart cards, because your credit cards right now with the magnetic strips, they're done away with. They're going to be done. The new cards that are going to be there will be the cards that have a smart chip in there. And that smart chip, again, will be NFC capable. All right? Then you're going to have already the smart TVs, which monitor what you do, what you see. And then you're going to see advertisements targeted towards that. You have smart appliances, fridges that will keep track of how much orange juice you buy. Okay? Why am I saying all this? Simple. Everything is designed to study you. Okay? Your social networks. Facebook. Did you guys realize that Mark Zuckerberg was in Switzerland in a major financial meeting? And he was there because they were incorporated. They were talking about having some sort of a currency that can be exchanged on Facebook. Okay? Do you realize that as I'm talking to you right now, the major multinational banks have set up technological infrastructure based and designed not on just simple banking, but on a social, quote-unquote, this is what they said, on a social infrastructure. What does that mean? Folks, the things with Facebook, with the smart devices, the smartphones, the smart TVs, the smart appliances, all this is designed to begin a drone process, where you're like a drone, a worker bee, okay, so to speak. Years ago, decades ago, the banksters, we used to call people worthless containers. And then worthless containers evolved into useless eaters. Today we call you human resources, okay? So this whole system of ubiquitous banking is designed to create drones. Not only designed to create drones, but is designed to make sure that you enjoy and that you love and you find pleasure in your servitude, in your slavery. Because that whole thing with TransUnion, Equifax, all these credit unions that keep track of the credit companies that keep track of your credit score, that's going to be done away with. The new credit score is going to be a person score, right? It's going to be something where they will track what you buy, what you spend, where your money goes, and you will have a type of quotient, a score that's given to you. And that score is going to dictate what type of loan you're going to get, what type of job you're going to get, what type of promotion in your job you'll be able to get, and where you can travel. And folks, I'm not talking about traveling outside of America. I'm talking about traveling within, from one state to the next. Even that will be restricted. We're talking about total control. But they'll make sure that they'll feed you enough American Idol, and they'll feed you enough Dancing with the Stars, and they'll give you enough genetically modified food to keep you nice and inoculated, to keep you asleep. And the whole thing about this is going to eventually transfer into the chip. Let me talk to you about the chip. Decades ago, we ran a test using RFID dust. RFID dust was actually, again, Japan. We've used Japan as a beta test for a lot of stuff. We sprinkled RFID dust on plates of sushi, all right? So we'd have Japanese consumers come in, they'll go into a sushi restaurant, they'll knock down a couple of pieces of sushi, and as they're walking, remember, they already have the technology with their cell phones, with NFC communication, as they're walking out of the sushi restaurant, bingo, it'll tell them exactly how many pieces of sushi they had, and it'll automatically charge their account. RFID dust is so damn good that they started using it on fish to monitor the migratory patterns of fish, and it can be tracked via satellite. Okay? That's the type of technology that has been whittled down into this tiny little microchip, which will be even smaller than a grain of rice. And it will have every single aspect of who you are, your new quotient score, your new your financial history, your medical history, all of this wrapped up into a device. Now, I'm sure all of you have seen that chip that looks like a grain of rice. Folks, that's an old, 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 old prototype. The newer one is so streamlined. It's so tiny. And it has quadruple the capacity to store that information, and it runs right off the electrorhythmic patterns and the energy of the human body. That's what this is all about. Your smart meter on your house will control exactly. They will dictate how hot and how cold your house will be during the winter and the summer. Your chip card will also have caloric denominations on it. What do I mean by that? Well, you're going to be allowed, based on your height and weight and your viability of how much of a human resource you are, you will have allocated to you 2,000 calories, 2,200 calories, or 2,500 calories, because you want to make sure that you have a lower carbon footprint, which will be the next big derivative scheme is carbon trading. That's the next big derivative scheme that these guys have cooked up. And they want to make sure your carbon footprint is as small as possible. So your new chip that's going to give you all the entertainment in the world is going to limit how much food you're able to purchase. You see how it is? So you're no longer going to be able to gorge on barbecue anymore, folks. Everything is controlled. Every aspect of you studied. All the smart TVs, smart appliances, smart meters, smartphones. This is all to study you. And then create a digital dossier on you in order that you and that digital dossier will dictate what type of person you are to them. Are you an extremist? Are you a conformist? Are you a religious person? Do you spend too much time buying knickknacks online? Do you, buy an overabundant supply of orange juice? These are all things they know. Total awareness, total control, total tyranny. That's the future.
This sounds an awful lot like science fiction. I'm blown away by what you're saying here. The enormity of what you're saying, and how can this be done willingly? How can this be done to a willing population or to an intellectually astute population? Well, I guess maybe that might be the answer right there.
Well, it's incrementalism. It's incrementalism, and what that simply means is that, it's that whole boiling the frog thing, okay? Where they take a frog and they slowly begin to heat it up until the frog just stays in that pot and boils to death. They knew that if they all of a sudden roll it out to you, you're not going to accept it. That's why they're going to make this thing look cool. It's going to look really hip. Your kids are going to come to you and be like, Mommy, Daddy, I want the newest chip. I want the latest augmentation because my chip will allow me to interface with my PlayStation 5 and my new Xbox, whatever the next Xbox is going to be called. You see, it's going to allow me to get online. Google Glass, folks, it's outside the person's head. That's the future is they're going to put that inside of you. Okay, these are huge things. And, of course, they want to market it as cool, as hip, as incredible,
Wow. And do you feel, V, that we're going to be able to, or we will see this in our lifetime? I suppose when everything crumbles and everything is destroyed and they rebuild it in their image, I suppose that a lot of this can be implemented. Is that kind of the case?
Absolutely. A lot of this will be implemented, and this will, you know, you're going to see this in our lifetime. The infrastructure exists, you know. When people ask, well, where do they get this infrastructure from? Folks, the backbone of these high-speed networks, the backbone of these high-speed computers, you know, they started rolling this out on Wall Street first. What do I mean by that? The computing power to do the high-frequency trades, that's where this thing began. And they used that as the technology backbone or the cornerstone in order to phase out, in order to phase in this whole new system of high-speed banking networks. Why do you think they're not spending any money improving the current networks? Why do you think they're not spending any money putting up newer firewalls to start against us? No, they want this thing to go down. They want the hack to happen. They want the cyber hack to occur where banking networks are failing left and right. They want that to happen because the new stuff is going to be bulletproof. The new stuff they're going to roll out with this chip is going to be something that's incredibly encrypted, beyond 128 bits, beyond 256-bit encryption. So that's what they're rolling out. It's already here. It's already here. You know, you guys have an iPhone 5. You're already participating in it. You know, some of you guys are getting Bitcoin. And that's kind of like this. So it's already here. It just hasn't been rolled out in its full effect yet.
Steve, you talked about this in one of your books. I don't know whether it was Genetic Armageddon or I believe that's where it was, the integration of RFID technology with human DNA or human beings.
Right, I talked about that years ago, Doug, on Coast to Coast, for instance, stating that the DNA computers and also the storage capacity of DNA, and there have even been now, I mean, I wrote that 15 years ago, and now it's just coming out, that basically you can almost have infinite storage. And we're dealing with literally atomic computing, meaning the size of an atom. We're talking about storage that's unimaginable, and what V is already talking about with the powering of these devices, it's not something you need to plug in and recharge. You are the recharging port for what they're going to use. Now, I want to make something clear, too, and this is really critical. The whole purpose of World War III, as it will be known, the whole purpose of all the technological integration of singularity when men and machines merge is to absolutely, at the end of the day, destroy the entire image and likeness of God. They are promising, the Luciferians are promising, you can live forever, you can download your collective subconscious, everything you've ever experienced, the smells, the taste, any kind of experience, adventure, sexual, whatever, can be not only downloaded, but it can be shared. So you can live anyone's life that once lived as a human, you can live it. In other words, it's already a commodity being marketed behind the scenes. In other words, people don't understand that, and this was kind of interesting. Years ago, I said, this isn't meant to be tacky, but it's true. The majority of money going into robots is coming not just from, quote, MIT and all the scientific institutions around the world, but a lot of it's coming from a lot of the pornography profits because of the sex box. It's a dehumanization. It's exactly like Blade Runner and all of the Hollywood plots, and hear me, ladies and gentlemen, all of the plots, all the science fiction, it's nothing more than programming you linguistically, sonically, and through sight that you're already deep in your subconscious being programmed to accept this. So what V basically is saying, and I'm reiterating, is when you're starving, to take the chip will be obviously easy because they'll just make it. Look, you don't find, die. and people will cling to life. Now, I believe God has an answer to that, and I believe he's going to provide for his people. He's going to lead his people where they need to go, and I'm no Pollyanna, Doug. After 10 books, I am no Pollyanna. After 20, you know, some years on talk radio, and I don't even know how many hours. I don't count anymore. The bottom line is the deal that I have stated over and over. See, here's one of the things, too, that you've got to know. It's one thing for V to come on your show months ago and tell you what's going to happen, and me to come on and then instantly, and this is critical for people to understand, the shills have been tasked. And were you not told this by your intelligence source, Doug, to completely undermine, to completely attack us, to completely throw every form of you-know-what against us so that our credibility is undermined, because the illusion must be maintained at all costs. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely, Steve. It's an accurate statement. You're 100% right.
And with that, we're up against the top of the hour break, guys. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report this Friday, May 24th, 2013, with Guerrilla Economist V and Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle, you can find him at stevequayle.com. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is a live broadcast on Friday, May 24th, 2013. We are humbled to have two people with us that are sharing their Friday night with us, Mr. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, the guerrilla economist, the man, I believe, who's never been wrong on the calls that he's made since he's been on our program, beginning with the debut January 11th, 2013. Folks, you can find all of the archived broadcasts in one spot, and that's at HomelandSecurityUS.com, our home base. Want to welcome the new listeners to the second hour. Also want to welcome, gentlemen, by the way, your broadcast, we are being broadcast in a Christian church in Iowa. I want to mention that and want to welcome all of the parishioners or all of the people there at that church in Iowa. God bless you. Thank you for listening to tonight's program. This is an important broadcast. Before we get back into it, just two things, two pieces of housekeeping. Got to take the three pieces of housekeeping I have to take care of. Number one, we will be live on Memorial Day. For international listeners, we will be live on Memorial Day. It'll be programming as usual, 8 to 11 Eastern Time. Number two, the reservations for the National Security Insecurity Seminar. That's the National Insecurity Seminar, which Joe and I will be attending with Gold Star mom Susan Price, just west of Raleigh, North Carolina, Apex, North Carolina, scheduled for June 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's filling up very quickly, so you've got to make your decision whether you'll be attending or not. Just go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link on the top right. You'll be taken to a page. It'll explain all about it, what the agenda is, and then from there you can click on and register. Your registration is required, and of course it's free. The third thing and final thing, I want to thank my good friends at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're actually having a, I guess what could be best described as a money bomb for us, a promotion for us, until midnight tonight, folks. If you purchase any stun gun, and they're retailing for right around $40, they are donating 25% of their gross proceeds to keep us on the air to help offset our broadcasting costs. What a great thing! And I've got to tell you, folks, if your daughter, if your wife, if your grandmother, aunt doesn't have, or you, if you don't have a stun gun, look, time is running real short. Please, definitely get yourself a stun gun. I have to tell you, I know the quality of this particular product. You won't be sorry. You'll have it when you need it, and we pray to God you will not need it. In addition to that, they're also giving 10% of their gross proceeds of the complete line of 7-day survival kits, 72-hour survival kits, and survival vests as well. So any purchase that you make to help yourself prepare for what's coming, for what you're hearing tonight, helps us as well. Just go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or off of our website, HomelandSecurityUS.com. Click on the link there. You can read about the promotion. Click on the link. It'll take you over there. Better yet, give them a call. The phone number is on our website. I won't bother giving it out now. With that, welcome back, gentlemen, Steve Quayle and the Guerrilla Economist, V. Welcome back, gentlemen. Steve, I'll throw it to you.
Well, I think, you know, one of the questions that you just sent to me, and I apologize to the listener that said I haven't been able to respond to him. Doug, in the last couple days, you know my frustration with having my T1 line taken out, my internet taken out, my cell phone went wacky. So chances are I'm usually pretty good about getting back to people. If I don't get back, you've got to send it again. To say that I probably achieved the zenith of frustration thanks to the entities that are would be an understatement. But I want to answer this one because this is a question that everybody has. Changing precious metals into dollars. You're not going to be changing them. You're going to be exchanging your precious metals for the stuff you need, like food, like medicine. And they won't just have a global or a Globex value. They'll have a street value. In other words, in a black market, in any type of controlled, dictatorial, fascista regime, the way that barter is conducted is on the price of the commodity that's being sold or traded for and the world price of gold or silver. Let me give you an example. Let's say the official value of gold in the United States is $42.50 an ounce, which it is, but obviously we know what it is today, $1,680. And let's say somebody wants to sell gasoline because they've got a 100-gallon tank and they want $15 a gallon, and they've got so they've got $1,500 worth of gas. And let's say silver at that point goes to $150 an ounce, which it should, because as V already said, I think that the illustration you brought up from the Royal Canadian Mint is probably the most astonishing thing that has ever happened in the silver market in the recent history. And I've been in this market for 30 years as a trader, as a obviously a coin dealer, precious metals dealer. But when you're a trader, just beyond someone who's a broker dealer or just nothing more than a dealer, nothing wrong with that, you get a whole different view of the way the markets work. So this is going to be simple, Doug. If gasoline goes to $15 a gallon, a guy's got 100 gallons he wants to sell, that's $1,500. Silver goes to $150, it's going to cost him 10 ounces of silver. That's why shortwave radios, this is something else people have got to understand. If you remember the World War II movies that used to be around in the 60s, going to the 70s, they always had the Nazis and their, SS out with radio direction finders trying to figure out people who are transmitting with a shortwave receiver. I said this on your show, maybe a month ago, and people said, where is that law? Where is that law? It's real simple. Just go look up Presidential Decision Directives, PDD, on communications. The issue isn't what they can take or what they will take. The issue is knowing that they can, knowing that they will, they're plotting, scheming, and obviously wanting to throw you as a human commodity into whatever form of prison camp. Then the point being is that divesting your assets, not just in your own home or in your own field or farm or whatever, you got to be clever. You got to be a hunter warrior. So this gentleman writes, and I think, Doug, you sent this to me, so I'll try and answer. He said, if you were to rank the four precious metals in terms of the best to have, considering what is coming our way, how would you rank gold, platinum, silver, and palladium? Well, one of the gentlemen that's listening to us tonight, God bless you, Lloyd, is one of the most famous commodity trader in the history of commodity trading. I've mentioned him before, and I'll tell you what, he sends me emails. He's saying right now his favorite is palladium. He thinks the high is $1,100, platinum, silver, and then gold. Now, why he's saying that is he's ranking them in order. Now, understand, this man is a trader. My ranking would be this. My ranking is silver, palladium, platinum, because most people don't understand you cannot do anything without platinum in the chemical process of manufacturing. It's involved in just about every form of manufacturing. The South African mines are shutting down. There is just absolute chaos in the mines, and brilliantly so. The Russians control the Stillwater mine up in over by Nye, Montana, which is 80 miles due east by southeast of me in Bozeman, and I've literally gone to that mine. I've flown over that mine numerous times in helicopters and been there on the ground while a helicopter was doing some maintenance. But the platinum and palladium market is so critical because whether people believe it or not, and again, I was one of the first guys on talk radio 20 years ago. I won't argue with anybody. When I was talking about cold fusion, the Navy came out, said it was real. Then every mention from the Navy disappeared. Obviously, the gentleman that had a publication on free energy, and I think, what was his name, Eugene Maloff, he was found murdered, and cold fusion was real. Pons and Fleischmann, it was real. So platinum and palladium, from a strategic metals point, from a absolute necessity point, are two of the best. And Lloyd, God bless you, you're listening. He absolutely, I've watched his trades. This is a man who produced for me, and you're going to love this, V, produced for me $16,000 turned into $1 million 1 year. Also, he was hired by George Soros for just a couple days to teach his traders, Soros's traders, how Lloyd did it. And I'm not going to give his last name. I don't have his permission. But this is a man that when someone can do that, I pay attention. So, you know, it's just like in Visa world. When I get emails from, you know, total dumb asses, now that's a biblical term, okay? When I hear the shrill cry of the hyenas and the jackals in the night, I just simply tell people, when you hear that, ask them what they've ever done and ask them to tell you what they've done with their own portfolio. It's a joke, Doug. It is a joke. And as V can tell you, 99% of the analysts, now traders are different than analysts, and I should say not only analysts, but stockbrokers. Most stockbrokers do only what they're told. In the stock mills where you've got a guy's maybe 100 trading desks, they're pushing XYZ. The company pushing it is obviously getting ready to dump it at some point after they've run it up. And I know a lot about going public. I just about did it in 2001, spent close to seven figures to do it. And, I mean, as close as you can get, a dollar over. And the point is that saw the whole thing. The reason I pulled my public offering back, and I've told this story on talk radio years ago, is because the chief analyst for a certain company in New York told me, Steve, they're going to pump and dump you. You know, one day you think you're worth, you know, $22 million. I'm just making that number up. It was up in that realm. It was actually higher than that. And he said, by the time they're done with you and by the time they've locked you into your do not sell, you'll be broke. And you'll wonder, what happened to the company you took public that was supposed to, you know, provide you with all the dreams? It was my goal to have a company that was almost totally owned by employees, because I think that, you know, that's a cool company that allows that to filter through their employees. Saying all that, and I hope I'm answering this question, Doug, my three favorites right now in this order. I love the Valcambi gold bars. I think everybody should have those for survival because they have 50 individual 1 gram bars that you can break off. Gold is, and I want you to say, you know, to put this into perspective. A woman who was really critical of me because, you know, number one, she even admitted and asked me to forgive her for her religious spirit. That's what she called it. I call it that too, but she called it that before I did. And she said she was mocking me in her heart and saying, oh, those guys are just trying to sell fear to sell gold. That very night she had a vision. And she and her daughter, and this is just what V is telling you, were trying to go from one state to another, and there were Russian border guards within the United States. The Russian asked her, what will you trade for your life? And the woman said, well, I have some silver. He said, silly woman or foolish woman, I think it was, silver is for food, gold is for your life. She did actually email me, or I don't remember if she emailed or called me, because I think she did both. One was the president of the other. To put it into perspective, silver is typically your barter. Gold is your savings, and I would say this, the palladium and platinum, and for a while, I was one of the, believe it or not, out of Bozeman, Montana, 99% of my customers are around the country, I was one of the largest platinum dealers in the United States, so I know a little bit about Rustenburg and Impala, and like I said, since Stillwater's in my backyard, there's only just two places in the entire North American continent that have active platinum deposits that are being mined as such. It doesn't mean there isn't platinum byproducts, but I'm just telling you, isn't it ironic that that question would come up tonight? And I hope I've answered it. I think the guy's name is Derek. That's my take. And again, V, if you want to address that. Are you there?
V, are you with us, V?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes, we can. Either you dropped off.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm having some phone issues. But no, I'm on the same page, you know, with that. I mean, I've had people ask me questions just as what they should do with silver and gold and how they should use it. And I said, you know, pretty much the same thing. I mean, silver is your barter and gold is where you're saving. You know, you're not going to go into a supermarket with a couple ounces of gold, you know, to get your monthly grocery. You're going to go in there with maybe 1 or 2 ounces of silver to get the groceries that you need. So, you know, that's basically, you know, how I feel about that, you know, in terms of, you know, platinum, palladium, you know, those are all, you know, great metals that if you know the market, you know the uses for those types of metals and you want to go in and, you know, make your money and get out, it's a good thing to have. As an analyst, and like what Steve said, you know, traders and analysts, we're two different creatures. I look at a lot of the top traders like the Thoroughbreds. These guys are great at what they do. They're like the sports cars. Me, I'm more like the I don't know what you say, like a recon scout helicopter, so to speak. So, you know, we're kind of like the generals on the battlefield. We get a big picture of what's going on. So, yeah, there's a difference between the analyst economist versus the trader versus the simple broker who knows or is a financial advisor who doesn't know his elbow from his rear end.
Sounds like me, which is why I'm not in finance.
V, I do have a question here from a listener.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Sure. And this listener pays $700 a month in rent, has little to no food storage, no metals, and is going to be getting possibly $10,000 to $20,000in some kind of settlement. They want to know if they should primarily focus on food or metals.
Well, it depends on what their income is. I mean, if you know they got $700 a month in rent, what's your expenditure? You know, what are you expending per month? So if your expenditure is, let's just say you're making I don't know, maybe $2,000 to $3,000 a month, you got $700 in rent. Maybe you got another $200 to $300 in utilities and living expenses. So basically, you're probably looking at maybe $1,200 to $1,500 a month in expenditures. But you have some income coming in. Well, that's a good thing. Okay, then I would tell you that, you know, if you're getting that $10,000 and $20,000 worth of settlement or something like that, you know, take that money and at least 80 to 90% of it I would move into metals. The rest I'd put into food. Now, if you have no income, okay, and you have no, you know, real sizable means to you know, cover your expenses month to month, I will tell you right now that the 80% of that settlement, I would move that into food, and then the rest of it I put into metals, because you know, the way things are happening very rapidly and very quickly. You know, you want to make sure that you're at least fed. Okay, that's an important thing, especially if you are in a residence that has other family members living with you and you happen to be the sole breadwinner. So then I would tell you at that point that, you know what, food is the most important thing. Steve, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I have always subscribed, and since I'm one of the guys that started the preparedness movement 30-some years ago, I can say this. It's always food first, food first, food first, okay? Then it's obviously water, 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 and we're already seeing now multinational corporations claiming that you have no right to free water. There are states, I believe Colorado is one of them, where you can't even collect rainwater, and there are other states where collecting rainwater can get you thrown in prison. So when V years ago, and Doug and Joe, I think I've said this on the program, I know I've said it publicly for a long time, when the Lord showed me the end times unfolding before me, when he called me to be a watchman and gave me a Joseph's ministry, if you don't like that, take it up with him. He said to me, he said, Steve, the day will come when the two most precious commodities in all the world will be edible food, and listen, how's this, potable or fresh water. And we see the dire aquifer drainings that are happening all over the world. Weather warfare, or Weather X, is going full scale. And one of the things that people don't understand is chemtrails, when they spray those over thunderstorms, they have the ability to basically absorb the water so it never falls to the ground. Chemtrails also, by their ability with the different chemicals to form, you know, different valences, or what's called covalent bonding, fancy term, it's why water doesn't even feel the same anymore. Now, someone says, well, you can't feel the difference. Oh, yes, you can. You can taste it, too. Some of the water that most people are reporting around the country, Doug, Joe, and B, even has an oily film to it. Well, gee, that's not a tough one to figure. But the aquifers are drying up, and this is what I've always said for 20-some years on talk radio now. When the great quakes, especially the New Madrid, happens, the issue is going to be the rupturing of the aquifers, and I have said this, and I stand by this even to this day, that the greatest migration in the history of the United States will be over fresh water. It's simple. You don't have water, you die. Food, you can go a while without, but fresh water is going to be critical. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I always say this. If you are buying property, get something that has originating water on it. not just water flowing through it. In other words, a spring, a well, something, and then know the depth of your well and know the general aquifer, know the general subterranean. And obviously, if you are in a very severe earthquake-prone region, then your water issues get compounded. After all of your preps, and by the way, V, I don't, and Doug, you've heard me say this, anybody that tells you to buy a 72-hour kit is out of their mind. They are out of touch with reality. They have absolutely no clue. All you have to do is read FERFAL, F-E-R-F-A-L, Google it, or, you know, go for a search engine run on it, and you'll find out what Argentina experienced when their economy collapsed and their currency collapsed. Just see every single thing that people took for granted not being available. There's lists on the internet of the 100 most important things: food, water, and then precious metals. Your earning capacity, this is another thing, and V, maybe it's time to address this. Where is the disconnect, my brother? And maybe, V, you can answer this, because I've tried to, and I guess I fail, that Christians somehow think, with all of the antagonism towards them, with the vilification, the plans for their destruction, somehow, whatever the new system is, they're going to stay in it and somehow be exempt from, you know, the demands of being able to live in the new world order. You've got to deny everything that the living God stands for, that the Bible stands for, and what Jesus Christ stands for. And if that doesn't dawn on people, I believe that, seriously, they should not listen to one more of these shows, Doug. They should not listen to one more broadcast of Alex or anybody who's on the radio, because they just don't get it. The system is designed to force the Christians to deny the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming months, if not the coming year, to such an extent that we're already seeing the vilification. What military commander, whether that's General Boykin or Paul Vallée, these are two outspoken guys who I respect immensely, and these guys are telling people, look, the military is declaring war on Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a Wiccan, no problem. If you're a warlock, welcome. If you're a Satanist, all the better. If you're a Druid, oh, we love you. So the point is that every single thing that can be accepted as right, which is the Bible absolutely reigns out in God's judgment on, is being accepted. And everything that's good, godly, that transforms human lives, that redeems human lives, that puts value on human life, is being destroyed. We have seen played out. We have seen played out the most horrific example of total demonic cruelty from hell in the two abortion doctors, Gosnell and the other guy, that was twisting the head off babies. It is so heinous. But I want to ask you this, every Christian listening to me around the world, did your pastor speak out against it? Did he ever speak out against abortion? Thank God. Thank God for those who have spoken out against it, who do speak out against it. This is the most heinous acts that have ever been created in history. And so we are now experiencing, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing the financial subjugation, the financial integration into the Borg. And your e-ticket or your admission ticket is a complete denial of Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying to you Christians is there's going to come a time, if you want to maintain your testimony and walk with the living God, you won't be asking, well, what do I do about my job? Anybody that asks me that is clueless. Well, how will I live? Anybody asking me that is clueless. Or how about the woman that sent me this? I've told you this, and Doug and Joe, you've heard me say this. If I take the mark of the beast, will God understand to feed my children? My answer was, yeah, he'll understand. He'll send you to hell. Why is it that you'd rather put your trust in the mark of the beast and want to live under that system than put your trust in the Lord and be brought into the place that he leads you? And seriously, if you can answer that, V, boy, God bless you, because I absolutely do not know how to attack that from any other position, having attacked it like the face of a diamond from every single facet. I know how, and I still get the disconnects. I'm getting them right now in my email, that people seem to say, well, how am I going to live? How will I use my gold and silver? I'm not mocking that. What I am mocking is the fact that the Christian is a targeted individual for total destruction, and that's what I'm targeting. That's what I'm targeting. If you don't get that, you better get on your face and repent and ask God to give you the grace to go through what we're going to go through. And I'm telling you, it's going to be beyond anybody's imagination. and it's going to be the 91st Psalm in overdrive, and a trusting in the Lord like none of us have ever had to in our entire life. So if you would, you know, address that, I'd appreciate it, because I don't know how to do it any more than I've done it for 20 years on talk radio.
Sure, no problem. You know, thousands of years ago, let me tell you, the progenitors of the system that we're currently in, the architectural origin of the system that we're in today. I remember, you know, reading thousands of years ago, what happened is that the Romans, what they would do is they would go into certain villages, and in order to find out who the Christian was, what they would simply do is they will bring this statue of Caesar, and they'll roll this statue of Caesar into the village, and this statue of Caesar would have some sort of an incense offering that's burning at the base of the statue, and they would line up the individuals in the village, and they'll say, all you have to do is take a little pinch of the incense and throw it into the fire and say, to the genius of Caesar. That's all you have to do, then you can get back in line and go home. So one by one, they'll line up, and people will come forward and say, to the genius of Caesar, and take their little incense and throw it into that little fire that's in front of the statue. But of course, the true Christian could have never do that, because that's idolatry. That's idol worship. He could have never do that. And so the Christian, because he couldn't do that, that's how he would get caught by the Romans. And the Romans knew that. But I would think to myself, how many times has a Christian stood in that line and said, maybe if I took a little bit of that incense dust, and maybe I did a little bit of a to the genius of Caesar, and then I could go run home and repent, I think everything will be fine. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible makes it very clear. You know, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That is severe. Now, let me tell you something about the mark of the beast. I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind away. With that chip, everything will work on a harmonic frequency, okay? Your DNA has a harmonic frequency that is as unique to you as your fingerprint is. So every single one of us, even though we are all human for the most part, all of us have an individual frequency that's very specific to us. This chip that we will be implanted with will coincide with the frequency of your DNA. It will be a perfect match. So there's no way I can yank out the chip from your arm or your forehead or wherever part of your body you decide to put it, and then put it into my body and then try to go around and make fraudulent charges on you. So when I say this is the most secure system that they have set up, folks, this is the most secure system ever set up, okay? Now, one thing we do know about this chip and the DNA frequency that's going to be associated with this is this. Your DNA, if you study it, and scientists have, it is a perfect conduit. It is a perfect radio frequency antenna. So that chip, when you implant it, this is no longer a to the genius of Caesar. This chip, once you get it, forget about running home and repenting, saying, oh, Lord, forgive me for taking this chip. You know I had to feed my kids. You know I had to put food on the table. Folks, this chip will not allow you to pray. Do you hear me? This chip, through electromagnetic frequency, is going to shut off portions of your brain, preventing you from getting angry, preventing you from questioning authority, preventing you from having any sort of righteous indignation against the system, number one, and it will prevent you from praying. That's why the Bible says that if you take the mark of the beast, you are gone. You are gone. Because you're no longer a human. It has messed with your DNA. It has messed and it has tampered with your ability to communicate with the Most High. That's your future. So then you might ask me, well, V, what do I do then? What do I do then? Well, I'm going to have to you know, bring you back to Psalms 37, where David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Never have I seen his righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You know, people talk about how powerful the enemy is, and these losers every year gather together in the backwoods in California and do their little sacrifices and whatnot. But let me tell you something, folks. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to be the most powerful entity on this planet. We are not going out singing Hold the Fort. We are going out in power, and we are going out in glory. And some of you who are just secular, you don't realize that in my voice and what I just said offends you. Hey, I'm sorry. Look, I've been an analyst. I've been an intellectual for most of my life. And it's through my intellect that I became a Christian. And like I said to many of you, you know, the reason why I am a Christian is the only religion in the world where I don't have to throw my brain out the window. Okay? So, now the question of what Steve said is, why in the face of such overwhelming evidence, why in the face of such daunting reality does the North American Christian somehow mentally disconnect himself, somehow thinks either A, he's going to go on to get along, or B, that none of this harm, none of this evil, none of this danger shall befall him or his family? And that, my friend, is a very simple question to answer. I'm going to tell you right now what that answer is. The pre-tribulation rapture is the most dangerous doctrine that has crept into the North American church. If you do research on it, its origins are occultic. It was started by a guy named John Darby who went to various seers and soothsayers and metaphysicists who gave him this doctrine, okay? And it began to propagate and spread. The bankers financed and bankrolled this operation because they knew that they have to get the church on board. You see, this coming globalization is not simply just a monetary thing. It's not just a fiscal thing. It's not just an economical thing. Whether you believe it or not, there's a spiritual component to it. That's why in the book of Revelation it talks about the beast and the false prophet. Okay? So the false prophet is the religious system that's going to back up and support this. Because people, those that are in the powers that be, understand that people need to believe in something. Human nature is inherently religious, so they need to believe in something. So you better believe there will be a spiritual component to this whole new economic model, this whole new globalist endeavor that they're pulling off. But I will tell you, that spiritual endeavor, that whole spiritual component, will not include biblical Christianity. It will have Christianity, okay? But it will be the milquetoast. It will be the limp-wristed. It will be the styrofoam cross of modern-day American Christianity. And folks, I told Steve earlier, you know, yesterday or so, you know, in order to understand the debauchery, in order to understand the foolishness that's in the church, I actually recommended a website. And if you all want to go on there, it's called alittleleaven.com. Go on there. It is a smorgasbord. It is a plethora of link after video after link, showing you in detail the things that our churches are invested in. I'll give you an example. Decades ago, churches would have prayer meetings. They will have a 30-day prayer challenge where people would pray for 30 days. Now, churches are rolling out 30-day sex challenges. So instead of, you know, the real thing for husbands and wives to survive in this dark end-time generation, which is to pray and seek the face of the Lord, no. What these milquetoast and limp-wristed pastors, these pukes in the pulpit, as Steve liked to call them, is basically telling husbands and wives, just have sex for 30 days straight, and that's going to make your marriage a whole lot better. Folks, this is the type of lunacy that we've gotten into, okay? I mean, sex is an important component of marriage, but it's not the marriage. You cannot make it in this world without the Lord. You cannot survive what is to come without God. if you somehow think you're going through a cycle or this whole thing's going to reset and you're going to somehow make it out okay without God on the occasion, folks, you got another thing come to you. Now, if you don't believe in God and you're listening to my broadcast, you're saying, how is this guy a financial insider and he believes in God? That just sounds crazy. Well, let me tell you something. The elites believe in God. They do. They really do. But they worship the wrong God. They worship Lucifer. They worship him. Let me tell you something. The Lord is my witness. I've been in firms where I've walked down the corridor and I've walked past conference rooms early in the morning at 7 a.m., at 7:30. And I look into the conference room and I see some of the board members and I see some of the CEOs and I see some of the big wigs and the top dogs holding hands in a circle, chanting Kabbalistic prayers. And I said to one of my cohorts, what are they doing there? They're like, oh, they're having their Kabbalah session before the markets open. Folks, you better believe the elites believe in a spirituality. They believe in a God. It's just, you know, it's not the God of the Bible, but they believe in it. Okay? They believe in a spiritual entity. Because the things that are happening right now, it's just not humanly, mathematically possible. And then, again, there's another reason why I became a Christian. When you begin to analyze all this, it's mathematically impossible for humans, from sheer conspiracy and sheer coincidence, to bring this about. There is an invisible hand leading and guiding this whole thing and bringing it to fruition. And the thing is, that's something you've got to understand. And that invisible hand has formed and concocted a global plantation for you to live on. And you don't comply with this endeavor, if you don't go along with this agenda, then you will be called. You will be part of the useless eaters. You will no longer be the human resource, but you will be the worthless container that they write about and talk about. That's the problem.
Wow. And you just said a mouthful there. By the way, I didn't understand it at the time. I've got to say this, V. I walked in on something very similar in the city of Pittsburgh, in one of the biggest buildings, in fact, the biggest building in Pittsburgh. It was early in the morning. I had a delivery to make of a report, and I interrupted, or almost interrupted, I guess, this very ceremony that you're talking about. And immediately I could tell that something was wrong. This is back probably, I don't know, in the 90s, mid-90s. But so I can verify, I can attest, not that you need my endorsement, but I can attest to that. So yeah. It's odd.
It truly is. I'm saying to myself, these are supposedly men who don't have any sort of spirituality. They'll, you know, in public laugh at the concept of God and, you know, or they'll, you know, say that they're a Christian or they have some sort of a nominal allegiance to some sort of a religion, but behind the closed doors, before the markets open, you know, when you're seeing some top dogs in there and they're holding hands and chanting Babylonian Kabbalistic prayers, you have to ask yourself what the heck's going on. That's what, you know, that kind of wakes you up there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it had me kind of, I mean, it really creeped me out, pardon the lack of proper grammar there, but it did, it really spooked me a lot to see that, and it was probably a dozen people, men and women, and it was just odd. But if I can sneak in a question here from a listener in Indiana, this is something, V, that I've been getting a lot lately. We have been getting a lot lately, and I think you touched on this the last time that you were on, but allow me to ask this one more time here. Again, from a listener in Indiana here, she wants to know, okay, now she feels basically like a lot of people do, that they're the only sane person in their family. She's asking, she says, I want to know what to say to the mockers, the family members, the people that are, you know, are within her realm of influence. They're telling her, hey, the markets are up, the housing is up, the consumer confidence is up, So they think I'm a real idiot when I warn them that all is not well. What do you say to those people?
Continue to build your ark. That's what I would say. What I would say is what Jesus would say. Jesus said a prophet is without honor amongst his own family and in his own house. So, you know, that's the issue. I mean, look, let me tell you something. Everybody has that thing, you know. There are family members of mine that somehow think that everything that I'm saying, that there's somehow things are going to turn around and get better. The reason for that is this. It's real simple, folks. They have what I call a horse in the race. When you have a horse in the race and you're betting your future on it, you want that horse to win. What does that horse represent? Well, it represents your future. It represents your dream home. It represents college for your kids. It represents your retirement. It represents your hopes, your dreams. It represents your grandchildren and seeing your kids married off and all these wonderful gooey, gobbledygooky marshmallows and lollipops. But the horse in reality, folks, is dead. It's a dead horse. And you've just been beating it. But you have no idea. You're so deluded. You're so inured and inoculated by the system that you think this rotting corpse of a horse is actually alive and running. So you place all your bets on it. You put all your money into it in the hopes that one day you too will ride off in the sunset on that horse. That you too will have your winning earnings and everything will be fine. But the reality is everything's not fine. The reality is this whole thing is coming apart. So to the people that are out there warning their family members and warning their friends, and your friends are looking at you like a lunatic, like a crazy person, my thing that I have to say to you is welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Let me tell you something. What Mark Twain always says is so true. In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and reviled. But when his cause begins to succeed, then the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. That's the world we live in, and that's what history is all about. History is not about people who, when everything's wonderful and great, have this large following. History is about people who, in the face of adversity, all of a sudden are able to stand up as leaders. And all of a sudden, it begins to click among their circle of influence, hey, this person, that person's right. They've always been right. Maybe I should listen to them. Maybe I should follow them. Folks, if you're feeling like that, let me tell you, you are the type of person God's looking for. You're the type of person that's going to be standing in the gap. You're the type of person that God has put there for a particular reason to begin to guide his people and other people through the dark days that are ahead. Okay? There is no, we're going to go through, before we go through any of this stuff, there's going to be a crack in the sky, the skies will roll up like a scroll, and we're all going to get raptured out of here. It's not going to happen. We're going to go through the fire. Let me tell you something. I talked to a missionary, a friend of mine. The guy was a former Special Forces unit soldier, and now he's a full-time missions guy, and he's actually the person who brought me to the Lord. And one time he was on a mission trip in India, and he was at a goldsmith. And when he was refining the gold, in this furnace, the goldsmith will put the gold into the fire, into the cauldron, and then he'll bring it back out, and he'll look at it, and then he'll put it back into the cauldron, blast it with a ridiculous amount, with intense amount of heat, intense amount of heat, and then pull it back out and look at it. And then my friend, my brother in Christ, and he's like a big brother to me, he said to the goldsmith, he said, how do you know when that gold is pure? How do you know when to finally pull it out? And what that goldsmith responded back to him, it was so profoundly, he said, I know when the gold is pure is that when I pull out that cauldron and I begin to look at that gold, I can see my reflection in that gold without any spot, without any distortion, without any blemish. Folks, that is why the church is going to go through the fire. That is why we're going to go through the tribulation, because that is our refining process. We're not going to face the wrath of God. You see, most Christians get it confused between, you know, post-tribulation and pre-wrath. Okay, they get confused between tribulation and wrath of God. Those are two different things. We're not going to be around when God pours out his wrath upon this nation. But we're going to have to go through the fire because we need to get purified. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you, but there's some things, there's some junk in my life that I want God to burn out of me. There's some stuff in my life that I need God to take out and have an overhaul. And I don't know about you, but V does not learn much when things are going good. I learn my best when things are going bad. I learn my best through the trouble, through the trial, through the torture. I learn. And unfortunately, I'm one of those knuckleheads. So God really has to bring it onto me. Okay? So that's the thing, folks, is don't worry if people aren't listening to you now. Don't be disheartened because your family thinks you're a freak, that you're crazy. Because the day's coming that God's going to start taking off all the securities. He's going to be taking away everything that people have put their hope in, one by one by one, until the only thing left standing, the only thing of value, will be him. And guess what? You will be that signpost pointing those people to him.
I don't think I could have said that any better, certainly. And Steve and I, we were talking about this very issue earlier today. Steve, any follow-up on that?
Well, I used to quote T.L. Osborne, who's probably one, in my opinion, one of the most amazing men of God, who had one of the most wonderful walks with the Lord. He said he used to stand in front of the mirror. He'd pray to be transformed. He'd pray that God would change him. And one day he just came up, and those of you who sat under T.L. Osborne's ministry know he was probably one of the most amazing poets and a man who could rhyme anything. But he said, someone questioned when he would be happy, when he would know. He said, I will be happy when he in me, meaning Jesus, is what I see. Dr. Paul Hagstrom said one time, and he's probably got the greatest revelation on how human brains work, he said to the Lord, Lord, what's normal in your view? And Jesus, or God the Father, responded to him in prayer and said, the life of my son. So that's why the scripture is clear. We're to be transformed in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is a spirit. God is not a man. He does not live on a planet. God did not take on the form of Elohim, come down and have sex with Eve, and produce the human race. That's total heresy. God is a spirit, the Bible says, and we who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The Lord said, let there be light. I'm talking about the Lord God of heaven. So why I'm saying that, Doug, is simply this. V just gave the best absolute definition of transformation. Gold, and by the way, my father was a geophysicist. My grandfather was a geophysicist. I was raised around mining. I remember being, I think, 10 years old in Southern California, Palos Verdes Estate, being the only kid on my block, which it was a pretty, you know, in those days even, it was a pretty fancy place to live. The only kid on my block with a 50-pound bag of gold ore that I would smash up and run through my own sluice box made out of basically plywood and carpet. So I was raised around gold. But I know this. I know the process of refining. And it's the same principle of silver. Silver is the most highly reflective metal in the world, even more so than gold. And the thing that is astonishing to me is that silver is a type in the Old Testament of redemption. Gold is a type of divinity. Even the Middle East talks about gold as being something unique. And from the book of Genesis, God created gold of Ophir. And V and I have talked about this off, obviously, the radio so many times, is look, God created gold and silver, yet Christians will fight that principle to the T and say that they're being good stewards, losing all their money in the paper markets. I've talked to more people who have lost hundreds of thousands and literally millions of dollars because they were in stocks, bonds, and they did what their broker said, their stock broker. And I said, and you ended up that way, didn't you? I said, if you deal with a metals dealer, there's a difference between a dealer and a broker. A dealer will get you a deal. A broker will help you to end up that way. And I'm not being clever or cute. I really do make that statement. So silver is absolutely a type of redemption. And the more polished, there is nothing more, more reflective than silver. And God, when you see the glory of God, and I'm not talking about God the Father, no man's seen God the Father at any time, but the glory, the Shekinah that Pastor David Langford talked about, the thing that's amazing to me, or the presence of Jesus as John the Revelator saw him, the fascinating thing is we're almost likened to silver. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say, and I will make you as pure as a Federal Reserve note. I will make you as wonderful as a silk Chinese yuan. I will make you as wonderful. And when Jesus went down into Egypt fleeing for his life, guess what? There was a time appointed for Herod's death. And so God wouldn't interrupt the time appointed. Now, this is something people need to understand. My dear friend Sue Bradley went home to be with the Lord. I fought for her. Many of you prayed and fought for her. But I remember the last conversation I had for her. She was tired, and she wanted to go home and be with Jesus. And I basically said, Sue, and I mean everybody, Kim, Romy, Pastor Bruce, everybody that could pray would pray. And yet there came a point after battling what she battled, and her husband Pat was at peace with it. Why am I saying this? Because the righteous, many of the righteous are going home early because out of the love that God has for them. And yet the Bible says that the Lord knows how to preserve the day of the wicked. You know, the song that only the good die young, that's not true. But there is a time appointed for wickedness to grow into full fruition, just as righteousness to grow up. That's why Jesus told the parable about the wheat and the tares. You know, I mean, let's face it. Some of us like to just go in the field, and that would be me, and just start knocking off tares. But I can't do it, because by knocking off tares, I'm not talking about murder or killing anyone. I'm talking about pulling them out by their roots or cutting them off so they can't grow into fruition. But the Lord said, let them grow together, and at the time appointed, the Lord will send his angels, and the angels have got, number one, better aim than I do, better discernment, and know who is and who isn't. And this is why V just gave the most amazing real statement. We are to be overcomers. Unfortunately, the pukes and the pulpits are causing everybody to succumb. Why is it, Doug, that the DHS already has gone to, 25,600 pastors and had them notify the DHS of, quote, troublemakers in their congregation? Let me give you the definition of a troublemaker, anybody who believes in Jesus. Let me give you a definition of a troublemaker, anybody who says Jesus is Lord. Let me give you a definition of a troublemaker, anybody who believes the Bible is the word of God. Yeah, because that is troubling. And I think Hawk last night and tonight, he may have mentioned it tonight, but I talked to him before going on the show with you about an hour or so before the show started. The natives are restless because the foreign troops aren't integrating well in with the U.S. So if we've got a reprieve, it's due to the grace of God, and that's what we're doing, Doug. So I pray that those of you who are Christians, believers, that took place in prayer and fasting and on your faces, men of God, that you continue to pray, to call out, to cry out, to scream out if necessary to God, interrupt the plans of the wicked to destroy the righteous. May their total command, control, and communication systems fail. May all their high-tech drones and all their high-tech killing robots and super soldiers, may they all come to naught. Because again, just as King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, when the women of God praised God, something happened. I can't tell you what. The Lord hasn't given me a vision or anything outside of just saying, you did what I asked you to do, now watch what I will do. That's all I can say. Watch what God's going to do. So when Hawk got a report from his sources in the background that these guys are basically having problems, even gunfights being reported. Look, if I have two guys that listen to this show, and they're both Vietnam vets, and they both have got They're both heroes in my mind. And when they go out in the field, one of them speaks Russian. And when the U.S. troops that they're training with, I don't know if it's Alabama or Georgia, when they go out there, and Arthur, if you want to send me an email and tell me which one it was, and somebody hears them talking about, I'll translate what was translated by the Vietnam vet who spoke Russian, those stupid Americans, talking about the ones they're training with, when we're done killing their countrymen, we kill them. Now, I can tell people that. I can scream to people that. I can warn people that. And people will simply say, well, how could you know? Well, cynic, jackal, and hyena, I couldn't unless someone told me so. And it's not a little birdie. So, again, Doug, the preponderance of evidence, and you're a private investigator, and you know what goes into building an evidentiary case that a prosecuting attorney can move on everything. And that's what people are seeing right now across the planet. They're seeing the God of heaven, who is holy and whose name is blessed. He is absolutely reading the charges. He has indicted the human race that's in total rebellion against him. And I can tell you this, as a father, as a husband, you can say what you want to say about me, but you start taking on my kids and you start taking on my wife, you know, then it's war. And I got news for you. The people that say, oh, quail, and I got this, and I want to deal with this right now. The scripture is not against self-defense. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword was a Roman idiom for the mercenaries. Most people don't understand how the Roman army was paid. Obviously, V does. That's the same way the New World Order is going to pay off their people. So the thing that we're doing right now is we're trying to get people to wake up to the fact that the systems are in place. And Eric Schmidt, the Google executive, said, artificial intelligence will be indistinguishable from humans within a decade. Ladies and gentlemen, I wrote that almost, I think, what, 10, 12, 14 years ago, and I forget now, in Genetic Armageddon. And this is why, Doug, when you bring it up, and I'm not just pushing my book, I'm saying, look, instead of listening to the critics on those, you know, hyena boards, why don't you go and read what was written before? And ladies and gentlemen, I sent Doug a partial file, because I've got to type up the other ones, a prophecies that I've read on his show over the last 27 years. And even the people that have received them said, I can't believe this is written 27 years ago. It's because it's God that wrote them. All I did was be obedient. So what I'm saying is this. You need to know what you're coming up against. And what you're coming up against, B has given the best description ever, ever, ever. He's my friend, but listen, you guys, he'll never tell you this. He is a really, really gifted. I'm saying gifted. He is absolutely gifted by the living God. I don't know how it all came to pass, but I thank God that he's fulfilling his word tonight on Hagman and Hagman. If you will warn my people, see, this is a word he gave to me, and I've shared it for 20 years, I will bring you the people to know. Tonight, you've gotten it on the mark of the beast so clearly, on the technology of the beast, you should never, ever be the same again. And I think, Doug, we got to go to a break. We're in the last hour.
In fact, we do. And I'll tell you what a fantastic – this is something you're not going to hear on CNBC or any of the financial channels, Bloomberg or whatever. And we owe a debt of gratitude collectively and individually to both Mr. Quayle and V, the Guerrilla Economist, for sharing what they are sharing tonight on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, you're listening to a very special Friday edition, May 24th, 2013, of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're right back after these brief messages. Stay with us. Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines, you just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com 866-404-3663.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three, our third and final hour of this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report with our very special guest, Guerrilla Economist V and Steve Quayle are with us. They've been with us the whole show, and it has been a fantastic show at that. And I'm going to hand it back to Steve and be quiet over here because I'm enjoying this as if I was a listener out there like the rest of you. So you guys take it away.
Steve?
And do we...
Steve might not be back yet. V, we're going to turn it to you then. take it away, my friend.
Sure, no problem. You know, one of the things that that you know I want to really highlight for people, just to understand the conditions that we're facing. We are living right now in a time that's unprecedented in human economic history. Now, you've probably heard that said by various pundits, various talking heads, but this is not just mere axiom. It's not just mere conjecture. What I mean by that is this. We are living in a time where there is absolute volatility and insolvency in all the big economies of this world, okay? We are facing massive issues monetarily, right? I was earlier today just reading a snippet of a press release by Barclays Bank on what their take on Japan is. And, again, this is something they've put out for their investors and, you know, and they're, of course, highlighting it's pretty bad, but you know it can be good if Abe does this and Kuruta does that, and you know. But the point is that once again, the central bankers don't get it. Once again, the mainstream financial heads don't understand. They don't get it, folks. These are the same idiots. All right, these are the same idiots that back in 2006. They said, oh, everything's wonderful with the market. Everything's great. Good times are just rolling. And then when 2007 and 2008 collapse occurred, they said to themselves, oh, we never saw this coming. There was never any sign. There was never any indication. And again, guess what? We're in 2013. And the same idiots are telling you that everything's great. Everything is fine. Everything's dandy. Come on in. The water's great. Come on in. Take a swim in the stock market. Take a swim at the New York Stock Exchange. See how wonderful these equities are. See how the money just flows over everywhere. But folks, it's a fraudulent scam. It's a fraudulent scam. Like I said before, most of the money, most of the growth in the stock market is basically corporations just buying and selling their own stock. Couple that with the high-frequency trades. Couple that with CEOs doing insider trading, which, by the way, is up over 400%. You heard that correctly, folks. Insider trading right now amongst CEOs is up 400%. It is unbelievable. Okay? Unprecedented.
Isn't that illegal, though? I mean, insider trading is illegal.
Absolutely.
Correct?
It's 1,000% illegal. Folks, you don't understand what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with honorable men. You are dealing with master criminals. And there is no honor among thieves. These guys are looking to pilfer you and take you for a ride and take you for all you're worth and then leave you destitute. And leave you poor. That's what they have planned for you.
There's no redress that we have in the system in which we live, as I see it. And we've often said this, there are no political solutions. In fact, we have to get out of the political mindset in order to really address what we're talking about here, in my view. And I'm so glad you brought up the spiritual and intertwined the spiritual aspect of this, because that's a huge component. And, Steve, glad you're back. What say you about the times in which we live, the uncharted territory in which we're going through?
Well, first of all, I mean, look at who Jesus had the hardest time with. The central temple bankers, okay? Because usury, the Bible has a lot to say about it. The Bible says, blessed is a man that lendeth not out his money for usury. That means interest. The whole fallacy of the Western economic world is based on interest. I've quoted Rothschild's statement about we make more money in 1 day of war than a year of peace. Look at, isn't it amazing how many weapons are being transferred to the Syrians, and everybody's in the numbers business, and V lives in that world of being an analyst, just knowing how many weapon systems are being sold to who and who's underwriting, and I mean, it's insanity on steroids. But the whole world is being gathered together, and this is something people don't get about the Battle of Armageddon. It is the Luciferian elite, all their ancient technology weapons, all their contemporary weapons, all of their hybrid weapons, meaning all their super soldier, everything, is to make war against Jesus. Even the blasphemous movie that's out now, they've got a fake or a really, really in-your-face, evil, wicked movie about the rapture out. Even the world now is taking, what is it called, V? Do you remember?
Rapture something. It's supposedly some spoof slapstick comedy that makes fun of the rapture.
Right. It shows them actually shooting Jesus out of the sky on a white horse. And it shows, and this is just the casting, it's not a statement, it shows a black man as the devil, and a white girl as his kind of, if you will, his the seductee. It is the most blasphemous movie. But you see, when The Last Temptation of Christ came out, even in those days, there were enough Christians to speak out that it wasn't really that well accepted. And the point is that what we're trying to get people to understand, Doug, is that money is a spiritual thing, because that's how the devil rules the world. He rules finance. Look at rock and roll, okay? We don't have time to go on, but rock and roll and the world of rock and roll, you can go on YouTube and you'll see famous people, whether it's, you know, Katy Perry talking about Satan Lucifer, Keith Richards talking to the Rolling Stones, talking about not ready to see his old pal Lucifer, Jay-Z wearing the absolute Wiccan shirt, all of these people giving their hearts to Satan, Lucifer, David Bowie's statement, everybody knows rock and roll is the devil's music, all this stuff, and it's not just rock and roll, but it's what it has become now. It's again, what people don't get is the kids are being absolutely neuro-linguistically programmed and sonically transformed in their DNA. It's so fascinating to me that V brought that up. The mark of the beast will be so transformative, the technological and the wickedness of that. And for those people that did not hear the broadcast, Doug, where your source in the intelligence world sent you that marvelous understanding of the third helix, almost a snake-like serpent. By the way, it's interesting because the Asclepius that the American Medical Association, the snakes on the staff, that's just the cursory understanding of that. It is the real understanding is, if you will, the serpent power intertwined between human DNA. So the point that we're trying to make tonight is, listen, 90% of the questions I'm getting tonight are money questions. So when people tell me, oh, money's not important, it certainly is, because you can't help anybody if you're flat-ass broke. You can't help anybody if all you do is sit in the seat of the scornful. And most people that are, and I'm going to say this, look, this is my chief complaint. Most of you that have never put your foot in the water or ever stood up for Jesus once or confessed him before men or defended him before the skeptics, and you basically sit in the seat of the scornful, which is also the presence of the ungodly, as assayers. You weigh what you think in your own eyes, and that's absolutely the biblical definition of lawlessness, when each man does that which is right in his own eyes. I just got an email, V, and I'll let you answer this, because this guy evidently doesn't get it and hasn't heard. He says, have V address Japan. If you had to say in 1 or 2 minutes why Japan is important, you just did the second largest bomb market in the world, but evidently he doesn't get it. Why is Japan the key to everything? As succinct as you can be, and you can be succinct.
Go back and listen to my January 11th debut interview.
It's on Doug's site.
Yep, I detailed Japan very clearly, why it's very important. The thing with Japan is, look, They go down. They look, Japan historically, the last 50 years or so, has been the biggest, either number one or number two bond buyer of U.S. Treasury debt for a number of decades. They're no longer doing that because they got a whole crap load of their own problem, okay? So when you have one, and you know, the January 11th interview, I gave the three-legged stool analogy, okay? They got three buyers of U.S. debt. Number one is China, number two is Japan, and the third one is the Federal Reserve. Japan is so weak, and they're not buying as much of those bonds. That does not mean that they're not holding on to it or dumping it. They're still holding on to it. They haven't let go of those U.S. bonds because Japan has been set up as an ancillary support system to the global reserve currency called the dollar. So even though they're not buying, who picked up the slack for Japan when Japan wasn't buying? The Federal Reserve, okay? The Fed's buying at an alarming rate, because the Chinese aren't buying. They're gone. They're like exit stage left. They're getting out of this whole thing. So now you have a one leg that's completely missing on the stool. You have another leg that's completely splintered and fractured, and it's crumbling. And the last leg is the Federal Reserve, which is basically, you know, we're buying our own debt, so to speak. How long do you think this circus act is going to last? How long do you think before this whole house of cards come down? That trigger is going to be Japan. Japan is going to bring this whole thing crashing down, because when they pop, you better believe you're going to see a flood of U.S. Of U.S. debt and U.S. bonds dumped onto the market at an alarming rate. And you better believe that massive amount that's going to be dropped into the U.S. market, it cannot be absorbed by the Fed this time. And that's going to create such a panic and a tizzy that you're going to see commodities begin to fly in price. And when those commodities begin to fly in price, like oils, gold, silver, I mean, whatever the aggregate asset would be, when they begin to fly in price, all the too pig to fail zombie banks and their, you know, fund managers that are watching the market, because the deal that they got back in 2008 is, hey, here, hold some of these treasury bonds. You know, this way you'll fatten up your books, so this way you won't look as insolvent to the public. Well, the fund managers know that there's a bond in the U.S. market, there's a bubble in the U.S. bond market, and has been for decades. What do you think they're going to do when they see a bond crash in Japan, while they're seeing commodity prices, which will starting to spike? You think they're going to hold onto their U.S. treasuries? Absolutely hell no. They're going to dump, and they're going to move their fund money directly into rising commodities, which will cause various commodities the world over to rise and shoot in price. And the Fed, which is the only right now the biggest buyer, and now they're going to coax all the public pension funds to start buying the stuff, none of that could be absorbed. It's mathematically impossible. It's not sustainable. It's not doable. So when they can't buy all this debt by stealth, and they can't buy this debt when, you know, when the fund managers are the too big to fail begin to dump, what's going to occur? Massive panic. I want you all to visualize something. Picture a bomb. Picture, you will, a major thermonuclear device, but somehow, you know, connected and tied to a string or a fuse. Japan is the fuse. It is the fuse that lights this whole thing up. It is the domino in the bond market. Folks, this is the second biggest bond market in the world, and it's totally out of control. They lost. Do you hear what I'm saying? They lost control of the second biggest bond market in the world, and you're telling me why it's important? Are you kidding me? The second biggest bond market in the world has just in the process of going bust right now. It's they've lost control over it. They don't know what the heck to do with it, and people are out there wondering why Japan is important. Folks, it is the very thing. It is the chief domino that brings this whole thing down. That's why it's important.
Very well said, V, and thank you, because we do have two listeners that did not pick up the first hour, that picked up the second hour of this program. In that theme, you mentioned two things. That was one, the Japan bond market. The second thing you mentioned, you broke this little tidbit. You had said, based on inside information, if I heard you properly, that the Fed ordered the U.S. pensions to pick up more U.S. debt. What does that mean, basically?
What that means, everybody that's listening to my voice right now, you got a pension? You think you're going to retire? First of all, the biggest scam that they sold the American public is your 401k. Folks, the 401k was never designed as a vehicle to retire upon. It was designed by basically, investors and fund managers that wanted to create some sort of a tax-deferred vehicle for CEOs who make millions of dollars a year to park some of their money in for the time being. And then the companies got smart and said, hey, you know what? Instead of paying out these lavish, expensive pensions, let's give all our employees 401ks and sell it as something as a retirement investment vehicle. And lo and behold, everybody jumped on board this 401k nonsense. And now they're stuck. Some people don't meet their minimum age requirements. Most people don't meet they can't claim hardship. And even if they do claim hardship, they can't get out. They're having big problems. Folks, this is a mess. This is an absolute mess. And the thing about everybody with the pensions, those who are listening to my voice saying, hey, it's a good thing I don't have a 401k, I have a pension. Your pension is going to be vaporized. That's what this means. When the Fed is ordering most pension funds to start buying U.S. debt, look, the majority of pension funds have already been vested in some way, shape, or form with U.S. Treasury bonds. Most pension funds have invested with state municipal bonds, all sorts of different various municipal bonds, mutual funds, and stocks. That's where your pension is, folks. That's where it is. You think these state comptrollers in your state are putting this money away, in some sort of a safe lockbox? We're talking about politicians here. We're talking about career criminals. You're talking about a motley crew of maniacs. And you think they're going to put this away for you and that one day you're going to retire on this? No. There's nothing. There's going to be nothing for you to retire upon. Your pension is lost. I told family members of mine, hey, take early retirement. Even my own old man, he's retiring. He's got a nice little nest egg that he set up for himself, and he's smart enough to get out. The man's leaving the country, okay? So he's good to go. But most people, they won't have that option. So when this bond market goes bust, kiss your pension goodbye. Kiss your pension goodbye. Unless you do something, okay, to hedge yourself, unless you do something to get some of your pension out, pay a fine, pay a fee. Some people are locked into a 401k. I get so many emails. V, I'm in a 401k. I'm locked out. I don't know what to do. First and foremost is this, okay? Most of what's in your 401k is not even there. It's just a stupid number on a stupid computer screen, all right? Secondly, there is a way to do it. You want to know how? Contact me, gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. All right? And I will show you exactly what you need to do based upon your asset and your liabilities, how you can at least save 50% of your 401k. but you got to reach out. You got to contact me, and I'll show you exactly how it's done. But for everybody else, this whole thing is going to vaporize your pension funds. It's going to vaporize your retirement funds. And that's something that none of you could afford to do.
Wow. We get the same questions here, V. Steve, I want to direct this question to you. This is from me. I've been looking at what's taking place with Benghazi a lot. I've written 26 articles on Benghazi alone. Out of the 26 articles, I think 23 had contained prima facie evidence that from my intelligence source that verifies that the United States has been or had been shipping weapons from Libya into Syria, and that Putin has essentially said, look, World War III is going to start in Syria. While everyone believes it'll start in Iran, it's going to start in Syria. It might end in Iran, but it'll start in Syria. Are we now seeing the convergence of the economic woes globally with the start of a global war?
Well, absolutely, Doug. And for the record, probably 15 years ago, before anybody knew what Al-Qaeda was, before anyone knew what the Egyptian Brotherhood or who they were, I was talking about the 72nd Imam, I was talking about the Imam Mahdi, and I was making the statement, and I stand by my statement then, that basically what was going to happen, the universal caliphate would be put into place. That is the prophetic worldview of the control of the world under Islam by the Imam Mahdi. But first, there must be a global conflagration. The picture, and I don't know if people were not grossed out, infuriated, and disgusted by a Syrian. They even had the guy interviewed on why he cut the heart out of one of Assad's men and ate it raw. I am telling you that this is absolutely the barbarism that is coming to the United States of America. Here's the thing. People cannot accept what they cannot wrap their mind around. So what you've got to do is you've got to give them just a little bite at a time, a little bite at a time. This is World War III. By the way, one of our listeners, this is kind of interesting, Doug, you're asking that question. I don't believe you saw this email because I have not sent it to you. But basically what he was saying, he said, and this is from Matthew. God bless you, Matthew. He said, Steve, I believe the Lord just showed me a newspaper front page with World War III. I then felt like the picture was of a nuclear blast. I saw it in black and white, just as V was stating that it was not going to be a regional war. You do not have the Russians. This is something, and maybe this is a good point for you to address, V. You do not have the sophisticated weapon systems moved in to Syria and to Iran and the squall torpedoes and the basically super sunburn. By the way, Hawk and I talked about that 10 years ago. You do not have that moved into something that's expected to be just limited in a regional war. This is going for the full Megillah. This is why the Israeli headlines, Debka saying they have to fight a three-front war. It's only logical and good business battle-wise to take your closest threat out first, and that means Israel must go against Lebanon and Syria. It's going to happen, Isaiah 17. But beyond that, you've got to look at what's gone on. When you have one under the Bush administration, you've got basically fundamental Muslim terrorists, and now everybody who isn't a Muslim is a terrorist. When you redefine and you basically re-categorize everybody other than yourself and you belittle, you shame, and you denigrate, the only difference between denigration and destruction is a matter of time. I want to say that again. The only difference between denigrating a group and destroying them is a matter of time. So as public opinion builds up, we're seeing it building up. You know, Doug, we watch this in real time with the veterans. Oh, how I prayed. I warned on talk radio that the veterans had better understand they're going to disappear. They're going to be murdered. They're going, and now we hear that I put up an article on my website that veterans who still need medical care are being thrown out of the hospitals. Men who are suffering with such intense pain. I had a guy send me saying his all of his medications have been denied. His Navy guy, his guns have been taken, and he's a mess. And he says, "What should I do?" The point is that we're watching this in real time, and this is what someone's got to understand. Of course, everybody, you know, and I live in the world where my emails fill up with, you know, there will be peace on earth when the Jews are gone. There can't be, because the Illuminati in Albert Pike's, obviously, the letter from Mazzini to Pike that's, you know, on the Internet, the Third World War, the Luciferians are the ones that are stirring up the nest, so to speak, funding all sides, getting the Christians, Jews, and Muslims at each other, and then when they are through having everybody kill each other off, they come in and kill the remainers and set up the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Or how about the Pope today? The greatest statement of anathema that is so absolutely divorced from the gospel of Jesus Christ is that atheists can be saved and that Jesus died for atheists. That is, he died for them, but that they're automatically saved because Jesus died for everybody. That is the biggest, most heretical statement, and if I were a Catholic, I'm not, by the way, but I don't bash them, I would be furious over that. That's insanity. So what's going on? We're in the time of Jeremiah when the prophet would have cried out, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil." The whole world is turned upside down, and this is why it's so critical tonight. I believe, Doug, that what V detailed about the mark of the beast was not only prophetic, I believe it was prescient, I believe it was timely, and I believe it was the most, defined warning from the heart of God. I'm not flattering my brother, but I am saying what he told you is what it's all about. And I can assure you that those who would put you into a global village, that's if you toe the line. For those of you that don't, there's Brother Bob's vision. I want to share something about Brother Bob's vision. I waited, I think, 4 or 5 years to post it. I posted parts of it. I never posted the gross stuff. I couldn't. I couldn't even bring myself to read it after having read it because it was so horrific. But people sent me emails saying, "Thank you. Go on my alerts or go on my dreams and vision, stevequayle.com, and it's there." See, people cannot understand the horror because they live in la-la land. But when the la-la land gives way to reality, that's when you're going to watch the hordes, the gangs, and people who have absolutely no compassion, no concern for their fellow human beings. Gee, there'll be all the abortionist doctors probably in tanks and bazookas. And I make no bones about that. To me, it is the most disgusting thing in this country that we watched, and those network disgusting piles of whale puke did not even have the balls or the amount of truth to cover what was probably the most heinous act that I can say. Look, you know, we've seen the gore of the battlefield. We saw whether it was, you know, in London at the barracks, you know, wasn't interesting. Nobody came to that guy's aid. The point being is that it's becoming more it. The world's becoming more and more barbaric. And this is why what V admonished you is, and everyone, is you're going to have to take a stand. And what he's telling you is real. So quit hiding behind your, "Well, my pastor said we're out of here before it gets tough." It's already getting tough. You just haven't had it come to your door. Pastor Langford said this, "You don't have to go looking for trouble." I'm paraphrasing. Trouble's coming looking for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
One of the things that Langford and when he was on with Steve, he said it so profoundly when I actually was hearing the interview earlier today, and I was just kind of cheering it on. You know, there's a lot of you out there that's listening to my voice, and you think if you can go on ahead and just like what Langford says, get into some sort of a march, some sort of a protest, that you're going to somehow stop this, you're out of your mind. You have no clue what you're facing. You have no idea what's really, really working on the background and in the backdrop of these events. What's going to change what's going to stop this from happening is if men and women actually got on their knees and prayed. If people would pray and ask the God of heaven and they would repent and ask the God of heaven to just come back and bring the God of heaven back into America, this whole thing stops. You know, this whole thing comes to an end. So, like what Steve would say, there's no, you know, political solutions for spiritual problems. And that holds true. There absolutely isn't. So it doesn't matter if one of the things that people say is, to reinstate Glass-Steagall. I would love for Glass-Steagall to be reinstated. It will stop a lot of the shenanigans from going on, you know, but they got to also have the political teeth like they did back in the 80s, like thanks to guys like Dr. William Black, where they threw, like, you know, over 20, 30, 40 bankers in jail because of the SNL crisis. Okay, I'm telling you right now, there's at least 200 guys that I can name that need to go to prison. They need to go to prison, and they need to go there and be locked up and have the keys thrown away. All right? That's how bad it is. So what we need is not just the political change, but the spiritual aptitude to commit and be a catalyst, you know, to understand and bring about the change that we want to see happen. That's what it comes down to. Other than that, I mean, you know, what Doug talked about earlier with, you know, this economic thing and what's going on in the Middle East. Look, the Middle East has always been a very good one of my favorite areas of study. All right, I'll tell you right now, most Americans' understanding on the Middle East is part of my French. It's piss poor. Americans have no understanding of what's going on really in the Middle East. So when an American asks me about, hey, do you know about Benghazi? I said, sure, I know Benghazi. He's with this other guy called Al-Qaeda. Okay? that's pretty much the understanding that most people have. Most people don't realize that Syria, okay, and this is what's important, okay? My family side, one side of my, in fact, my mother's side, are Assyrian, okay? That means they are ancient Christians. They're at that side of the family goes back to Antioch, back in the book of Acts, where Christians were first called Christians in the city of Antioch, which is in Syria. Most people don't know that there's a huge Christian population in Syria and has been for thousands of years. Most people in America don't realize that there's a huge minority groups, various diverse groups that are in Syria, from everything from the Christians to the Eastern Orthodox Christians to the Alawites to the Shiites, the Kurds. I mean, there's a huge, very diverse group of people that live in Syria, and then you have this Wahhabi death cult that we call Al Qaeda, and that's what they are. They're a Wahhabist death cult created and backed by Western financier banking, who bankrolled the whole entire operation through the CIA, through MI6, and got the Muslim Brotherhood in place, got the Wahhabis in place, created the House of Saud, and that's why we're in this big mess. See, this whole thing with the Middle East, this is an area that the British government, through British banking, created. It's the mess they created, and then they've handed it over to us because we're the inheritors of the Anglo banking and financier system.
If I can add, they intentionally created this after World War II by the dividing lines of countries in anticipation of setting this up. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to make very clear to a lot of people, you know, whenever people hear about the conflict of Israelis and the Palestinians, you know, one of the things that's always I hear people say it's this cliche and this axiom, and it's a total lie. And this axiom is, oh, they've been fighting like that for thousands of years. No, they haven't. Prior to 48. Before the Brits started drawing up the lines of the Balfour Agreement and things of that sort, There was never any problems. Okay, there was never any problems with Muslims and Jews during that time. They used to watch each other as kids. They used to share vegetable gardens together. They, you know, watch each other's houses when they go on vacation. Okay, do you guys realize that during the when the Ottoman Empire came down, the Crusades ended? All right, the Jews that were living in Spain, all right, the Sephardic Jews, when the Muslims left Spain, the Jews went with them. You realize that? They went with them. Why? Because they were afraid of the Christians. They were afraid of the anti-Semitism of the Christians. Not the Christians, but the Catholics. So all throughout Arabian lands, you find pockets of Jews. What the heck do you think Jews were doing in Yemen for hundreds of years? They've prospered there. Why do you think there are thousands of Jews in Persia, in Iran? Because they've been there. They prosper there. This problem has been intentionally created by British banking interests through British military, industrial, and political mechanisms that have carved up to the Middle East, created the problem, and now it has shoveled it straight long into America's back. Now it's our problem. Now we're, you know, in some sort of a treaties and an alliance with Israel, which we've never had before. I mean, prior to LBJ, we never had any sort of an alliance with Israel whatsoever. It wasn't until like the early 70s that those ties started to take place. We really didn't. It was actually the French. The French were the biggest supporters of Israel once the British abandoned them, so to speak. Okay, so here we are. We're facing down World War III. The economy is in a mess. We're in a volatile and insolvent world. What do you think these guys are going to do? One misstep, and you got a problem. Okay, you have globalist plans. I'm going to be very clear here, all right? And I don't want anybody to call me an anti-Semite because I'm Semitic by genetics. All right, I'm Semitic by genetics. All right, there you go. There's a new tagism right there. So don't call me an anti-Semite. But I will tell you one thing. There are globalist plants, right, globalist moles implanted in the Israeli government, just like there's globalist plants in America and in Europe and in the UK, okay? These guys are lunatics. They're going to try and instigate a war. And this time it's going to cost them because this week, Russia has moved a few more of their missile cruisers into the area. And these missile cruisers are sporting the latest hardware. Or they have missile capability that can shoot down Israeli aircraft while that aircraft is on the runway. And because we were the morons who created the Bush Doctrine, and we used the Bush Doctrine of preemption, now the Russians could knock out Israeli aircraft right on the runway and say, hey, you know what, that's the Bush Doctrine, it's preemption. We felt threatened, and we wanted to shoot them out of the sky. And folks, there's no new missiles that these Russian ships are using. There's no defense against it. There's no defense against it. These things will make 30 plus G turns. All right, these things move at an alarming rate. Mach 5, Mach 7, up to Mach 8 or 9 is what I'm hearing, and 30 plus G's in a turn. So by the time the fighter pilot of that Israeli aircraft hears a beep, it's over. He's done. He's cooked. Okay, so Israel has never faced a hardcore modern military. This time, Vlad happens to be in the neighborhood, and he's there. He's not going to allow his buddies in Syria to go down. And we've been losing Syria. We've been losing it big. So these globalist lunatics that are in Israel are, I hope and pray to God, that they're not stupid enough to start something now. I hope and pray to God that cooler heads do prevail.
Steve? Or Joe?
No, what V said is right on the money. And what he said about the globalists, the what we'll call it the military-industrial complex, being a part of all these powerhouse governments is exactly right. It is not the government's all or nothing. It is criminal factions of these governments.
Absolutely.
One of the things, Doug, that too is critical for everyone to understand And again, I tell you what, I used to tell people who are new Christians or people that want to be Christians or feel that they should investigate the life of Jesus because he's the most amazing person in the universe, is go get a red letter Bible. A red letter Bible is real simple. It's what Jesus said. And when he says the whole world lies in the evil one, they lie in the evil one. There is no truth in them. Apart from God, there is no truth. So when Christians send me an email saying, you and B don't know what you're talking about, or I don't, he doesn't, whatever, and they tell me because Fox and NBC and CNN would never lie, tell me, I got news for you. I mean, a proctologist would be embarrassed by where they've got their heads, and I'm not trying to be gross. I'm trying to be as blunt as I know how. Sometimes, you know, you can do more with a blunt instrument than a sharp instrument. And now is the time to be blunt. They are absolutely trying to bring the world into a global conflagration, the Illuminati, to bring us down to the 500 million that are on the Georgia Guidestones. For you, those of you that don't even know what the Georgia Guidestones are, just go Google, go on any search engine and type in Georgia Guidestones. They're talking about maintaining the planetary population of 500 million. That means as of today, 6 billion people have to die. These are not friendlies. These are not wonderful people. These are not poster children for charity, mercy, love, kindness, or understanding. These are the devils that have come to rob, to kill, and destroy. And that's the order they're going to do. And so what people have got to do, listen, I take the scripture seriously. Seek the Lord Jesus while he may be found, for the night comes when no man can work. I don't know what the night is going to ensue, an EMP blast, you know, something blocking the sun, any number of things that can happen. But when you, Christian, are running for your life, and you followers of Jesus are being led to your lives, and there's a big difference there. The point is, wouldn't you rather go where the Spirit of God is leading you ahead of this than to sit and try and duke it out? I'm telling you point blank. The other night, Doug, on your show, and I've got to refer to this, was the most powerful time, I believe, in the history of the world, where believers from every country that were listening and men of God who have been beat down, beat up, trodden underfoot, finally said, I've had enough. I'm coming back to Jesus, and I'm going to rise up into that position that he's called me to. The women of God, praising him, thanking him, going before as King Jehoshaphat, again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, as he declared had to be done. And when those two elements came into effect, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. This stuff is too hard to wrap your head around in your own strength, in your own power. I don't care how tough anybody is. I don't care what training they have. The smallest pathogen is bigger than the toughest guy. Even super soldiers and the designing of their manipulated DNA, and go type in super soldiers, they exist. They have vulnerabilities too. So the thing is, the Spirit of the living God, through the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, will give us what we need at the time we need to give it. Though God didn't need to give us the answer to super soldiers when they didn't exist. Now that they do, he will give us the answers. God didn't give us the answers to the giants that are reanimating. Now that they're coming back into our dimension, or the demons, or the fallen angels, or all of the different warring realms, the principalities and powers, now we need that revelation. So the time lock is being opened. And by the way, Doug, on Monday night, if you don't mind me telling everybody, I'll be on Coast to Coast. That's Memorial Day, I think, from midnight to 3 o'clock, the last 3 hours, with George Norrie. So I think it'll be an interesting show. We're going to talk about true legends. We're going to talk about what's going on in the realm of stargates, what's going on in the realm of portals opening, and I'm going to tell the Native American history. I'm going to tell about the energy ley lines. I'm going to talk about all this stuff because, contrary to what most people who are naturalists, the greatest irony, I guess it would say, or the most unusual thing in the history of the world is Christians who want to stay in the power of natural, of the natural, when God said he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and to as many as us who received Jesus gave he, the Lord, us the power to become the sons of God. You cannot fight spiritual wickedness with earthly weapons. You can fight other earthly wickedness with earthly weapons, but when you get the victory in the supernatural realm through prayer and fasting and intercession and dominion and authority and binding and loosing, the bottom line is that's when the breakthrough comes. So what we're talking about tonight is the financial realm. Yes, China's going to back the renminbi with gold. Yes, they're going to be prepared and poised to strike in an hour. Actually, that's even too long. And I'd say less than 5 minutes, China can announce and can open up to international verification all of their gold. They'll say, we will back our currency. And instantly, the Chinese will have sunk the West without a shot being fired until they just decide that they want this country, and then they launch on it. We are at the verge of thermal nuclear destruction right now. People say, oh, you've been saying that. You've been crying wolf all these years. No, I've told you that I've smelled the breath of the wolf on the back of my neck, that the wolf would come and the series of events that would take place when all of the bleeding sheep who are bleeding hearts, with bleeding, B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G, bleeding, B-L-E-E-D-I-N-G, would not get it until it were too late. So the point being is we are at that time. This thing is on a hair trigger, Doug. Your sources have told you that. Everybody's waiting. They know the shoe is going to drop when. And by the grace of God, those of you who got on your faces as men of God, and those of you who raise your voices as women of God, praise God, don't quit. It's not a one-time deal. It's a always deal from this point out. And Doug, again, I want to thank you and Joe for making your show available. Give out your website again so people can email you directly. You no longer need to email me to get to him. Give out your email address if you would.
Sure. The email that you can reach me at is, folks, look, here's the thing. Time is critical. Time is critical. And, if you need help, if you need to reach out on how to navigate this, you got a 401k, you're jammed up, your financial advisor tells you, oh, he can't get it out, they're giving you the runaround, X amount of money and XYZ funds, you don't know what the heck to do with it, you got a bullion dealer that you're waiting weeks to get the delivery from, you know what, cut the nonsense. It's time for you to cut the cord. It's time for you to make some steps. It's time for you to make some changes because time is of the essence. Contact me. It's gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. And that's gorilla, spelled G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A, gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. And give me a call. I mean, contact me into my email. I can call you. You just write up, your name. What are your assets, your liabilities, what are your goals, what are you hoping to achieve, what is your concern? And for a small fee, I will be able to help you out and give you a game plan on how to prosper. And I'll exactly tell you what you need to do in positioning yourself and getting the right metals. You know, like I said before, you call up Renaissance, tell them V sent you, they'll take care of you. They're one of the few guys I know that can get you the metals quickly. Because, folks, this is not about, I got so-and-so who can get it for me at, a couple of bucks here, a couple of bucks there over spot. Yeah, he might be able to get it to you, but can he get it to you tomorrow? And the thing right now that's going to separate the rock stars from the groupies is basically the person that can get you the medals at a timely manner and get it to you quickly. Because, again, inventory is becoming scarce. You have a lot of dealers and a lot of brokers fighting over very little inventory, and that's what's happening, okay? So it's only going to get worse. So, again, give me a call, contact me, gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. There's a link on stevecoyle.com. It's all the way on the bottom. You could use that to try to get a hold of me, and I'll contact you. And I take payments. You could send me a check. I take all forms of credit card payment, whatever you need for me to help you, please feel free to reach out.
And folks, I just want to say this. I received an email about an hour ago to make sure that we thank V, because V did help this couple that did seek counseling with him, and they were very pleased with the services offered. So Just bear that in mind. Gentlemen, we've reached the end of a terrific program. We want to thank both of you for your time on this Friday night, on this holiday weekend, for sharing your expertise. We're indebted to you both, and God bless you both, my friends.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you here Monday, Memorial Day, 8 p.m.
And just in closing, a couple of thoughts. That's right. We're going to be live Memorial Day. Folks, if you're going to be around the Raleigh, North Carolina area, June 7th, 8th, 9th, please sign up for the National Insecurity Seminar. I want to thank our friends at American Survival Wholesale. That's American Survival Wholesale for running a very special promotion that helped us stay on the air. You've got 3 minutes to take advantage of that, or 4 minutes to take advantage of that. Just go to HomelandSecurityUS.com and click on the special offer. God bless you, and stay safe. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Good night, everyone.